boss car you got there, dude. It's Cherry.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, January 13th, 2022. This is your award-winning Gibbo Nation Media Assassination episode 1416.
This is No Agenda.
Duncan for DARPA and broadcasting live from the heart of Texas Hill Country. FEMA region number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley where nothing's going on, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Craig Bott and Buzzkill in the morning.
There you have it, everybody. End of the show. That's right. Nothing's going on. Nothing at all. Now that everyone who is new to the show has gotten over the opening intro and realized that maybe we are just a wacky Z Morning Zoo.
It'd be better.
Hey, we got it. Megyn Kelly said, No Agenda, the fantastic and hilarious show.
Yeah, yeah.
She said hilarious.
So you want your review of the Megyn Kelly show?
No, not really. Unless it's about the things that were obvious. But okay, go ahead. If you're going to be negative.
You were more relaxed. It was a great show for you.
Mm-hmm.
Until the end, of course.
Well, that's what I thought was the best part.
And then you were less blinky than you were on the Joe Rogan show.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was noticeable.
Blinky. Yes.
And yeah. I thought you held your own. They had good promotion for our show with the lower third and the rest on the, if you watched it on the video.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, it was like, you did make one mistake, I thought.
Yeah, I made a huge mistake. I completely forgot that Megyn Kelly had interviewed Putin. That was my mistake. I completely forgot that. That was my mistake.
No. Mistake, I thought,
yeah.
It was my mistake. Your mistake, I thought, was when you dropped the ball on, there was some discussion about the pharmaceutical companies and you said, or drugs or something. And you said, well, somebody mentioned there was no coverage of this in the media.
Oh, that's what I should have said, of course, because
the media. You said it was because the media is in cahoots. And then you never said, you were about to say, well, the drug companies own the media, Pfizer sponsors everything, mm-hmm. but you never said any of that, and you switched topics.
Ah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so it'll come back up. So then at the end.
Well, before you say that, what I found interesting personally is two other things before the end. One, how Megyn is really all in on the vax. But like, really, you know, it's a fact. It's proven. It, you know, you won't go to the hospital was pretty much what she was saying. I thought that was interesting. Certainly when, you know, we cut to Rand Paul and Fauci fighting and I said, well, yeah, he's got the goods on him because, you know, he's got the new documents that show that DARPA was involved. And then she's like, well, no, we haven't verified that. It was such a self-censorship moment. It was really surprising.
I was actually stunned by her knee-jerk reaction to a number of things. And the Putin
Wait, before the Putin thing, the other thing.
You got more material than I do. Why am I even doing this segment?
No, I didn't expect you to do it. That's why I got the material. No, and it was in hindsight, it went back. It's like I was harsh about it, but she showed this, oh, look at the Netherlands. You know, you're from Holland. Look at the cute Netherlands. They have this place we can go smash up a car and get rid of all of your energy. And I'm like, you know, they're still locked down like dogs there. My daughter's locked up 5 to 5, can't be out on the street with more than one person. And people are protesting. They're getting beaten and the dogs are being sicked on them. And her response was, oh, my God, that's very, oh, my gosh, that's really hard to hear that report. It was the weirdest thing. I'm like, am I a reporter now? That's a very harsh report. But she, I think she was surprised because she thought, you know, oh, look how cute the Netherlands are. And she had no idea what's really going on.
Yes. But when we got to Putin, it sounded to me that she sounded more, in fact, the line would have been, if you, I know you were regretting some of these not saying
stuff. Of course.
But I'm sure you wouldn't have said any of the stuff. Like my line would be the following, if I was your writer, it'd be, oh, you had 3 interviews with Putin? I didn't know you spoke Russian.
The line I had after the fact was, well, I guess if you're going to claim, and I said, I guess if we all believe I know Tina Turner because I had a lunch with her, I guess you know Putin, you know, something like that. It's like, but I'm happy how it turned out. My mistake was I completely completely forgotten. And if I recall that whole period, I think she was really insulted by Putin. I think she felt insulted. That is it's kind of what's in the back of my mind.
I can remember these interviews.
Remember?
She was. You're right. She had said Putin gave her a couple of
And so I'm a little shots. Concerned, a little concerned that, you know, her ego got in the way of her journalistic sense
that's one way of looking at it. But when I heard her say, oh, Putin's trying to rebuild Russia into the old Soviet Union. He was really upset when it fell apart. That is all old tropes that were thrown at Trump during the Trump era. And it's bull crap. Well, give me one. Oh, really? How long has Putin been in? He's been in, what, 30 years? How much has he done to rebuild to the Soviet Union? All he's done is taking Crimea. That's it.
And she consistently said, she even kind of patronized me, but at that point I was so stunned because I got, oh, you got me there. She's saying, no, Adam, Putin wants to rebuild the old Russia. He has a hard on for that. That's what he wants to do. I'm like, okay. And then it was like, well, you know, because I've met him 3 times. But I think in hindsight, maybe I got some kind of imaginary upper hand because I ended by saying, well, the minute Victoria Nuland reveals herself, then we'll know what's going on. And she literally said, okay, that's all the time we have, which she was out of time. But then
hey, wait, hold on a second. How do you get out of time on a podcast?
Well, it's just, no, that's the annoying thing. It's the Sirius XM. They're doing ad breaks. There's 5 ad breaks in this show. It's very distracting. I completely forgot about it and I'm yapping on and she had to interrupt me because they had to go to a break. A hard break. Heartbreak.
How could there be a hard break? It's a podcast.
Anyway.
You'd have to go to the affiliates, the locals. You'd have to have a, because there's a clock.
She does, because she record, the podcast is sadly not the prime delivery mechanism. The Sirius XM show is the prime mechanism. And for people who are wondering what they edited out, that was because the connection, I just got into Fauci and him having the goods on Rand Paul. And then the connection dropped. It was interesting. And then I thought it dropped again. And because I could see, you know, her video went dark and I went, oh, I fucking hate this. And she said, no, you're still here. So I'm pretty sure they edited that out. But here's my point. I said to her, well, okay, we'll see who's right about this. When Victoria Nuland surfaces, we'll know what's up. The very next day.
So before I go into some of the diplomatic substance.
Special guest at the State Department briefing. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Victoria Nuland Kagan.
Let's remember how we got here. It is Russia that created this crisis out of whole cloth. It is Russia that has amassed 100,000 troops on Ukraine's borders. It is Russia that has prepared internal sabotage, destabilization, and false flag options for Ukraine. And it is Russia that has...
False flags? I thought false flags were conspiracy theories. You can't have a false flag. That's not true. There's no government that does some kind of operation on itself.
I wonder what word she was going to say before she corrected herself.
Let's listen.
Prepared internal sabotage, destabilization, and false flag options for Ukraine.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. I stepped on it.
False flag options for Ukraine.
So first of all, she may have wanted to say, the text might have been false flag operations. I don't know why she said false flag options. And then she stumbled over
Yeah, that must have been it, because it seems like the word she dropped was Ukraine, which she did say.
Yeah.
So she must have been, what happens, you're reading and you flub a word and you say options instead of operations.
Right. And then
as you're trying to correct in your brain, how am I going to get out of this? You flub
the next line.
It's actually written, and then you do end up saying it.
Yeah.
Destabilization and false flag options for Ukraine. Ooh. And it is Russia that has spewed disinformation and lies about Ukraine, about the United States, and about NATO to justify its own actions. At a time when COVID is running rampant again across Russia.
What? Oh, yeah. No, this is... remember, she's decloaking here to reveal the strategy against Russia. So, you know, we have to immediately bring in the crisis.
Its own actions. At a time when COVID is running rampant again across Russia, as it is in other places, and where only half the population is vaccinated, the Kremlin has to justify to the Russian people why it is stoking a potentially very bloody and costly conflict for Russia.
What's she trying to do? Start a Russian color revolution here? Hello, people of Russia. Why is Putin doing that?
Rather than focusing on its own citizens' health and on Russia's own significant challenges in building back better.
Oh, woo!
No one needs a conflict now.
Russia's building back better too.
Oh yeah, according to Vicky.
Focusing on its own citizens' health and on Russia's own significant challenges in building back better. No one needs a conflict now, least of all Russia.
Ooh, fighting words. Now, I have another voice from the past who was there. I was so happy. You know, we've got Victoria Nuland, who we followed for years and years as she was the spokeshole for the State Department. And so she comes out, you know, when you sometimes haven't seen a person in a while and then you see him and then they've changed so much that your jaw drops open. You're trying to shut it up because you're like, where's the old Victoria Nuland? She has.
She's looking worse bloated. By the minute.
She is completely bloated.
She's bloated.
Yeah.
Her skin's hanging off her face. She looks like crap.
Now, a producer emailed me and says, I can know, but it seems to be that she likes a lot of drinking. But who knows, right? We have not been able to independently verify this producer's claim. But yeah, she looks. And in fact, if you look at her, and with this type of this body type that she has, which she has, but you know, just now that it's gotten big in size, she's doing everything. She has the same wardrobe that Hillary Clinton has on, the same type of that body type lady wardrobe, but it's just uncanny. You know where Hillary's head is also swollen up? That's the same look. It's the look of Chardonnay. Anyway,
that's what I was thinking. Chardonnay. Sure.
So who's back? Who's back in the State Department press briefing? Our old buddy, Matt Lee. And I'll set this one up because now we start to see what's really going on with this so-called conflict. We have, under the climate change rules and the 2030, 2050 zero carbon-based emissions, Germany is shutting all their coal down. They've shut down three of their final six nuclear reactors. The final three will be shut by the end of this year. And we have a delay on the Nord Stream 2. Nord Stream 2 is the new pipeline that Russia has put in place for Germany, who really desperately need this now. In fact, I put in the show notes what do they call that? The SMARD, S-M-A-R-D, Marktdaten visualisieren. So they could, you see the German grid is overloaded. They don't have enough energy at the moment. And so this will cause brownouts, blackouts, etc. But we have this problem where Germany really wants to keep the lights on. And the U.S. is saying, hey, you can't let Russia into your country with gas. Will this hold? Matt Lee has the questions.
You know, how solid, how confident are you in this, in the solidification, in the solidness?
Solidity?
Solidarity. Western unity on this, particularly given the fact that you and Amos Hochstein were up on the Hill yesterday, essentially begging Democratic senators not to go along with Nord Stream 2 sanctions because you think that it will shelve the, or it'll reduce the German.
I think Matt is also on the Chardonnay train a bit here at 10 a.m.
Something going on.
Germany's desire to do anything. So, how solid is this alliance for massive consequences and severe costs?
And she's talking about sanctions for Russia. Sanctions.
Matt, we are very confident in the consultations that we've been having with our allies and partners. We've been working at this for some 2.5 months at every level from the president on down. The agreement that we did with Germany in July makes absolutely clear
what will happen. Are you concerned that Germany might not go along with whatever you're hoping you'll get in place should it become necessary if there are sanctions imposed on Nord Stream 2?
So you'll hear him in a second use the acronym NS2AG, which is the Nord Stream 2 Corporation.
We are concerned now that what is being discussed on the Hill will have no impact on Nord Stream 2. What we are doing now is working with the Germans, working with the EU to slow their consideration of implementation of the pipeline. This German government has taken significant steps to do that.
Mm-hmm, I know.
How can she say what she said? She says it's going to have no implications. And then she talks about slowing it down.
Yeah.
It's kind of, she contradicts herself within two sentences.
She's also making really weird faces at Matt, kind of like, don't you remember you're supposed to shut up when I make this face? And of course, Matt was like,
Matt was saying, I don't know, it's not the same face you used to make.
The EU to slow their consideration of implementation of the pipeline. This German government has taken significant steps to do that. And they've also reconfirmed the agreement we had with the previous government with regard to what happens to Nord Stream 2. Namely, it's suspended if Russia aggresses against Ukraine.
Ooh, be suspended. So how's this is a very interesting conundrum where the EU desperately wants to get Ukraine into the EU. NATO wants it in NATO. From what I understand, the conversation Putin and Biden had was where to put the rockets. We'll put our rockets here. You put your rockets over there. And then, but they're messing with Russia's core business. And what's Germany going to do with their grid at the max? What are they going to do? And to me, it still feels like an overall EU attack on Germany. You got to think the French are behind this somehow. You know what I mean? It's very weird.
You know, it's funny because they painted themselves into this corner by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
By buying into all the green and the build back better and let's do this and let's wind power. We have a situation in the Bay Area where we have a takeover of some very dubious corporation that is going to remove the most of the Alameda County and some other areas from the Pacific Gas and Electric.
Mm.
And it started in 2016 and it's all of a sudden now.
Well, wait a minute, just disconnect them? How does that work?
In California, the power lines are owned by the state.
Oh, okay. So you can traverse, so anyone can send power
and
over.
So they can buy their, but they have to buy their power from somebody. And they've decided with this group, East, I can't even remember the name of it, some very crunchy sounding name. we're going to buy our own power from renewable sources. And it's going to be, yeah, I know.
It's going to be a cold winter. It's going to be a hot summer.
Only from renewable sources come to, there's a big windmill operation in Tracy and there's some other things you can get.
Yeah, groovy.
And we're going to be, and the kicker is, and it's going to be cheaper than what we were paying to PG&E for their mixed bag of power. And this is bull crap. And already people have gotten some bills in, I think San Francisco's part of this.
I'll bet
deal.
That's fine. I bet it's times five.
No, it's not times five, but it's plus 10-20% as opposed to cheaper.
Right.
And they can't necessarily, no, it is cheaper. And then they come up with this bull crap. This is a nightmare. And this is like not even on bordering on the level of what must be going on in Germany with the bull crap.
Well, it feels like there's some, this, you know, well. So the U.S. has also now dropped support for the East Med pipeline. And the East Med pipeline that's sending gas up from the Mediterranean. All of that's kind of where the Nobel Energy was off the coast of, you know, Israel and Palestine. Right. So that general area, it was supposed to send gas up to Cyprus and then bring it in bring it into Europe from there. They've dropped that in support of something called the European Transconnector. They're planning on putting a huge high voltage DC line underwater. This is some astronomical project, and that they've convinced the scientists somehow have convinced policymakers we can just get rid of all these pipelines and we'll just put a high voltage direct current line all the way through and feed all the shit that people need to charge. Electricity seems, well, first of all, a huge single point of failure for one. Not that I know anything about really HVDC, but it's incredibly expensive to do this. And it's like the EU is committing energy harakiri, you know? It's like, let's just kill ourselves right now. We got nothing. We got nothing left. We've shut everything down. Oh, boy. Are they looking for a problem, reaction, solution? Because they don't have a solution.
I think they're looking for a revolution. Communist revolution.
Wow. That's okay. I'd buy that sooner than anything else. That this is purposeful destruction. It's way too fast.
That's what it seems that everyone's up to.
I'm sorry?
That's what everyone seems to be up to. This new communism.
Yeah,
I'm driving around Berkeley yesterday.
Oh, okay. Communism Central. Yes. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
And I'm looking, you know, there's a big apartment building on the right on University Avenue on the left-hand side as I go to the campus. And there's a big communist hammer and sickle, somebody beautiful one, by the way, painted on the side of this building. And I'm thinking, you know, in any other part of the country, they would have beat the crap out of the owner or whatever to allow this giant hammer and sickle to be painted on a building.
Oh, that's great.
They're all for it. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, wow. Nicely done. Is it famous artist? Is there a plaque next to it?
No, it's just it's like somebody with some talented guy with a spray can.
Okay. And they just leave it up. Beautiful.
Yeah, just leave it there.
Well, it could be that. I still suspect financial reasons that stuff has got to close. You know, we have to temper the economy. But for those new listeners who come to us from the Megyn Kelly Show, let me explain why we're here. In fact, here's one of the best self-analyses I've ever heard from a M5M, as we call it, mainstream media outlet. This is Reliable Sources with Brian Seltzerwater. And CNN senior, what is he, senior correspondent, Oliver Darcy. And it's just a beautiful moment when they witness the awakening and the realization of where they stand in the world.
Here's a big, overly broad question for you, okay? Is the media at this point out of touch with the public about COVID?
I think it's hard to argue that, you know, the media is a large group of people, but a lot of the media does seem, when I look at it and then travel the country, to be very out of touch with people. I mean, if you travel the country, people are not really living in the same bubble that it seems that most of the media is messaging toward. And so I think this is an issue because if people are tuning out what's going on in cable news, if we're not messaging toward the general population, you know, they're just, you know, ignoring everything and living their lives. And we're not really getting the information that they need to them.
See, that's the point. The people aren't listening. We have the right information, man. They're not getting the right information. This is a big problem. What are we going to do? I love this.
It's very funny.
I don't know. People don't care anymore, you numbnuts. Because we like getting our own news together. This Pfizer CEO, they got to shut him up. He's
out of control.
He's making mistakes. He is, and it's always.
I think he's nervous. I think he's rattled. I have to assume. And I think everyone has to assume that the guy was sincere with his vaccines. And they thought they had the world by the nuts with these things.
Yeah, they did a little bit, actually.
They did, actually, and not to mention it.
Just look at the contracts.
But as the data starts coming back, especially the dangers of the vaccine itself, and plus the fact they only last 90 days, it seems.
Yeah.
And they have no holding power. And now it's like, it's getting a little, and after bringing in 60 billion or more, 90 billion, 60.
Oh, yeah, it's closer to 90. All manufacturers combined. But I think Pfizer has the
Well, they get the bulk of it.
Yeah.
And
well, here
they are getting a little squirrely, and now I think he's getting nervous.
Well,
probably
so
hitting the Chardonnay
first. Vicky, pass the bottle. So first, we have Bill Gates coming out now, not with sound, but saying, well, you know, Omicron, that's this is pretty much it. After this, it'll just be like the flu. But, you know, we have to have new vaccines, which are targeted. And he says this in concert with the Pfizer CEO, saying this about the current vaccines and what's to come.
And we know that the two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection, if any. The three doses with the booster.
Let's just pause at that for a second. We know
you might as well. You're going to play this guy. He's getting worse with his accent, by the way.
Yes.
You're going to have to translate.
Yes. He says that we know that the two doses of vaccine are just no good. That's a paraphrase. But the two doses, we know they're ineffective. The booster gives you some.
The two doses of the vaccine.
And he's talking about Omicron here.
The two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection.
Limited, if any.
The three doses with a booster. They offer reasonable protection against hospitalization and deaths. Against deaths, I think, very good. And less protection against infection. Now, we are working on a new version of our vaccine, the 1.1, let me put it that way.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're on deck for a software upgrade. He's even using the terminology. I wonder if it will come with a terms of service, which you'll have to just not read and click yes on, because it's Pfizer vaccine 1.1.
Now, we are working on a new version of our vaccine, the 1.1, let me put it that way, that will cover Omicron as well. And of course,
Omicron as well. What else are you covering, bro?
That will cover Omicron as well. And of course, we are waiting to have the final results. The vaccine will be ready in March.
Okay, March, everybody. March, there you go. It'll be so bad by March. Oh, my God. Oh, the cases. Oh, so horrible. Oh, luckily we have 1.1. Hey, have you upgraded yet? No, I got Moderna. They're slow. They're like the Windows update, man. Like Pfizer's like the Apple update. You get that shit right away. This is what we predicted.
I'm waiting for 3.0. Everyone knows that 3.0 is where it starts to be okay.
You really want to stay away from this stuff until 3.0, don't you? I agree. I'd have more, but I think you have a lot of COVID stuff, so I'm dying to hear what you got. I'm looking at your clips, and by the way, I never listen to John's clips. He has no idea what my clips are, but they come in, I put them in the folder. I look at them, I'm like, okay, I have an idea. My idea is probably let John do some COVID clips because he's got something going on here.
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff going on. There's two or three different tracks going on, which are kind of interesting. So let's start with that, and I can do the Omicron. Let's start with Omicron and do the redundant update. I call this the redundant update because every update on NPR, it seems to be the same as the old update, but they keep doing them over and over. So let's go with Omicron redundant update.
Omicron variant of the coronavirus now makes up about 98% of all cases in the United States. But Dr. Rochelle Walensky, head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, also cites a preprint study from Kaiser Permanente in Southern California that suggests the Omicron variant may be less severe than other strains.
No patients with Omicron required mechanical ventilation. Additionally, this study found that those infected with Omicron who were hospitalized had a shorter duration of hospital stay compared to those with Delta.
With the prevalence of the Omicron variant, new infections are surging. The CDC says the current 7-day average is about 751,000 cases per day.
Cases.
751,000 per day. We get the whole population.
Yeah, it won't be too long from now.
All right, let's go with the COVID updates, and this will be COVID. Let's go with this route. This is COVID number one.
The United States has hit a new pandemic record. There are now more people hospitalized with COVID-19 than at any other point in the pandemic.
Yay! Phone finger number one.
If you doubt this, visit an emergency room.
Nice one. Nice one. Ah, now I know what you were doing. You were hacking shit together.
We're number one.
We're foam finger number one, baby. Woo!
Yeah. Let's go to part two of this series.
Sally Otto is at the University of British Columbia.
The Omicron wave is so spectacularly fast. I'm an evolutionary biologist, and this Omicron is redefining what we call strong selection.
Wow, this is interesting. This is even baffling the scientists.
I've never seen anything spread as quickly in the natural world.
Which means it should quickly blanket the country with a new level of enhanced immunity. Cecile Vibeau is a senior epidemiologist at the National Institutes of Health.
Every new wave of SARS-CoV-2 variant gets us closer to endemicity because it builds immunity in the population. You know, this is going to get us closer. We're not entirely there yet.
Yeah, I'm sorry, John. Maybe I misunderstood. This is the wrong clip, I think. This is, you had something numbered number two, but you had the COVID number one, ONE-2. I think that's what you want me to play, no?
I wanted COVID number 1-2.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I spoke to Dr. Ruth Frank-Snedeker, and this is what she's seeing in her big hospital in Phoenix, and we should warn it's pretty graphic.
I couldn't believe that in a single week on service in the hospital, I had three patients that needed amputations.
Oh.
Their infections in their limbs had gone too long that they needed, one needed an above-the-knee amputation, and two of them needed below-the-knee amputations.
Snedeker said none of these patients had COVID, but they had either waited too long at home or they couldn't get the care they needed. And she says this would not be happening if the healthcare system wasn't so overwhelmed.
Oh my goodness, these are diabetics.
Or whatever. But the point is that it's your fault, by the way.
Yes.
And I'll play part three of this series, and you'll see what they're pointing the finger right at you.
Just a reminder that whatever choices we make and whatever chances we run into can affect other people. Will, thanks so much.
Jeez.
Yeah. The guys, those amputations are your fault because you were making the wrong choices.
Your choice. You're making bad choices in life. This is a new meme. Bad choices. You should make good choices.
You should have made the good choice and get the vaccine. Should have gotten the vaccine. Yeah. These poor people had their legs chopped off
because of you. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That's what the report is.
Pandemic
about.
Of the unvaccinated.
So the point that the thing you jumped into, which was the wrong clip, which talks about the new buzzword, which is endemicity.
Ooh, endemicity. That's a good
and
buzzword.
And endemicity is a good show title.
Yes. I'm going to write it down. Yeah.
Because it's endemicity time. And I want to, before we play these clips, this is a...
It's endemicity time. It's endemicity time.
So, there's a bunch of interesting papers out there, most of the stuff showing up on Substack.
Of course.
And some woman did a trace of all the variants and how they came about. And Omicron doesn't come from the same source. Omicron seems to... You've seen these things.
Yes, of course.
Omicron seems to be separately evolved, completely separately than the rest of these things.
And from what I've read, it acts more like an attenuated vaccination. Which is completely crazy.
I'm sure that's one of the assertions. And it's on its own track and it's designed. It may be when you invent something that's going to run out of control and you have to have a back door like they had in
This is the antidote.
Jurassic Park.
This is the antidote. This is what you have to let loose. So everyone.
It's the antidote.
Yeah, everyone is cured. Exactly. That's what you do.
So you push this because out of control. It's out of control. We sold already $90 billion worth of vaccines that don't work. So it's starting to show up that they don't work in more ways than one. And that's going to be a theme for the next month, this show for sure. And so you got to put a stop to the whole deal. Let's put a stop to it. So let's send out this thing. So we're going to have this endemicity, which is the other kind of the thing, besides the fact that Omicron will knock this sucker out of the picture. The endemicity is what's happening, and that's what we have to be aware of. Let's start with that part one, endemicity time.
Dr. Anthony Fauci defended the administration.
This is an extraordinary virus, the likes of which we have not seen even close to in well over 100 years. It is a very wily virus.
Now, as devastating as that virus is now, some infectious disease experts think there could be an eventual benefit to the Omicron surge we're in the middle of. NPR health correspondent Rob Stein explains.
When the pandemic began, the holy grail was flattening the curve. Well, that didn't pan out. Then there was herd immunity. No such luck there either. Now, the new hope is something called endemicity. That's when the virus is still around, but can kind of fade into the background of daily life as it becomes more predictable and maybe less threatening.
We will always have COVID-19 with us in some form. But what we're really interested in is that you can get infected and it will be more like a common cold.
Elizabeth Howard studies infectious disease dynamics at the University of Washington.
And so, yes, the answer is yes. As a lot of people get infected with Omicron, this one will get us closer to where we want to be.
I like this theory because it fits in totally with your original timeline looking at the 1918 flu pandemic, which would put this to be ended around April of this year, which makes complete sense. Pfizer gets one more push with a 1.1 version in March, and then they can claim victory.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. You did it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah.
We're number one. We
are number one. Yeah. Hey, we could have gotten paid for this strategy, but okay, we give it away for free.
Onward with part two of this, which you
I started already. Yes. I teased it. Yes.
Sally Otto is at the University of British Columbia.
The Omicron wave is so spectacularly fast. I'm an evolutionary biologist, and this Omicron is redefining what we call strong selection. I've never seen anything spread as quickly in the natural world.
Which means it should quickly blanket the country with a new level of enhanced immunity. Cecile Vibeau is a senior epidemiologist at the National Institutes of Health.
Every new wave of SARS-CoV-2 variants gets us closer to endemicity because it builds immunity in the population. You know, this is going to get us closer. We're not entirely there yet, but yeah, getting closer.
So combined with more and more people getting vaccinated, even if the virus is still around after the Omicron wave recedes or comes back on a regular basis, most people won't get very sick from it, like the flu. And Jeremy Camille at Louisiana State University says the virus also appears to be changing in ways that could help explain why it appears to be milder.
All that immunity out there seems to be sculpting the virus's spike protein to behave a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So that is another side of this coin that is starting to make the virus look a little bit more endemic.
Now, this might make some people think, well, sounds like I'm going to get it, and it could boost my immunity without a lot of risk, so why not just get it over with? But Camille and others say, don't even think about it. Get vaccinated and boosted. Even if Omicron's milder, it still can be really nasty, even deadly. And don't forget about long COVID. Omicron's going to inflict enough carnage. And many scientists caution it's way too early to conclude with any certainty that we'll be on the right road after Omicron.
Okay, exit strategy idea. We need some kind of box that you can hook up to, you know, your speakers. And whenever some messaging is coming through like that, it puts that echo on automatically. That was really beautiful because that's exactly what it's intended for. You will obey.
Yeah.
That's great. Good one. Good sweetening job.
It's funny to listen to these reports about Omicron being the endemicity.
Endemicifier.
Problems.
The endemicifier.
It's the endemicifier, and it will fix everything. But get the vaccine anyway.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
Get that vaccine.
Get that vaccine.
You need to get the vaccine because it could. You never know.
Just what? I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, why take the risk?
Why take a chance?
Why take a chance?
And why take a chance?
Whack the guy.
All right, part three.
Michael Warby studies evolutionary biology at the University of Arizona.
I want to actually get away from any kind of narrative that Omicron is some sort of silver lining. It's irresponsible to suggest that there's some sort of preordained progression of viruses like this toward becoming benign.
The next variant could just as easily be nastier and even better at outsmarting our immune systems, and any immunity we get from Omicron could fade. And Jeffrey Shaman at Columbia says, just because something is endemic doesn't always mean it's easier to live with.
It's very difficult to say, well, it's going to settle into a seasonal pattern, be much milder, and we're not going to have to worry about it, and we'll be able to get back to our lives. I would love that. That would be great. But I just don't know if it will happen.
So in the meantime, says Harvard epidemiologist William Hanage, the country needs to double down and do everything possible to blunt the damage as Omicron tears across the nation.
I do strongly suspect that we will see a transformed world once Omicron has come through. But Omicron is just, you know, the house is on fire. Let's put the fire out.
What? This is Greta Thunberg's line. How does he get to use the houses on fire for COVID?
She's out. She's on the outs.
Yeah. Of course, because everyone's going back to nuclear and natural gas. Psych. So the backdrop of this, because this rings true to me, is this whistleblower and the new documentation. Finally, Project Veritas has something that really kind of blew up. I mean, this is what Rand Paul was using with the Fauci testimony, and it even ties into Malone's DARPA guy. They were building a gain of function research. They wanted to do bioweapons. They wanted to change shit in bats, and it got out, but only after there was a moratorium. They couldn't do gain of function, but then it was Fauci's very own NIAID who did fund it, and they took it to the Wuhan lab and other places in America. This was going on
illegally in America.
Well, of course. So it really does look like this was a manufactured thing. The question is,
well, golly,
I remain. Is it possible that China, who I think their economy is already collapsing, you know, this real estate thing, I'm not the expert, but it feels like, okay, there's something bad going to come out from this. Maybe they decided the best way to fix some of their own money issues was to shut down parts of the economy, and everyone else just followed suit. Hey, great idea. Hey, that we can get more money to pump into the banks and everybody else who needs it. You know, flood the zone with everything, and you know, we can kick the can down the road, the 2008-2009 can down the road.
Yeah, it's a possibility. I'm still thinking along the lines that this was an accident, but even though it was designed to be a biological weapon, and somebody should be held accountable for the fact that it got out.
Yeah,
and I think Fauci should be one of them. But yeah, let's go back to 2020.
Ooh, do you need a
right heart? After this whole thing began. And some of the early reports that all disappeared off the face of the earth because nobody wanted to hear them. This was actually in your archives. I don't know if we even played it on the show, and I'm guessing we might not have, although we may have, because it was one of those mono clips that every once in a while you have.
Okay.
And I stereoized it.
One of those clips. It happens sometimes. Yes, it gets past.
And
me.
This is the 20. It's called 2020, and this is the early analysis of the early outbreak.
I routinely monitor outbreaks of disease around the world, both for humans and animals, to see if there might be a biological warfare agent at work. So I followed what was going on there at Wuhan, and eventually reached the conclusion that what we are dealing here is an offensive biological warfare agent that leaked out of the Wuhan biosafety level 4 laboratory there that has been DNA genetically engineered with gain of function properties that simply accelerates the DNA genetically engineering for a biowarfare agent in the first place. And as far as I can tell right now, Steve, just having read the public record, it does appear as if it's a combination of what's called a chimera, that basically you have the SARS, and we know that facility has previously worked with SARS, and SARS leaked out of there at least twice before, combined with the flu virus, and it appears also combined with HIV that, you know, leads to AIDS at a minimum.
Nice. Yeah, I remember you hammering on the chimera.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
This all was pushed under the rug.
So here's some evidence that they want to shut it down. And it comes from the EU. The EU is now saying, hey, you know, boosters, maybe not such a great idea, everybody. It seems like the immunity is like a problem. Like, we should consider this. Here's a brief statement made during a press conference from the European Medicine Agency.
There are two concerns here. Is that if we have a strategy in which we give boosters, let's say, every 4 months approximately, we will end up potentially having problem with the immune response, and the immune response may end up not being as good as we would like it to be. So we should be careful in not overloading the immune system with repeated immunization. And secondly, of course, there is the risk of fatiguing the population with the continuous administration of boosters.
Wow, some self-awareness there. Hey, the people may be sick and tired of your boosters, and we probably shouldn't give one every 4 months because we're weakening people's immune systems. Science. So we also have to, you know, take the pump the brakes on what's going on here. You know, the mask craze, mask, N95, that's the only thing. Got to the CDC says, cloth mask, no good. They're even revising this now to create some kind of soft landing.
Meanwhile, an eye-opening pre-Omicron study on masks showing it can take about half an hour for two people wearing cloth masks to pass the virus to each other, compared to about 25 hours when both are wearing N95 masks.
Well, the CDC, according to the Washington Post, is now weighing an update to its mask guidance, pushing for those higher quality N95 and KN95 masks over cloth masks amid this Omicron surge.
So it's good for half an hour. That seems long enough to bop in and do some groceries or just sit in your car masked up. Seems, you know, like that'll be okay.
This is one thing we really haven't discussed on the show as much as we could have, which is the switch over from, mask or surgical mask or gaiters, anything but N95s, because the surgeons need those.
Yes.
And so
we'll even lie just to make sure.
You don't need that kind of protection.
No.
But then again, you can have a cloth mask and then a cloth mask and a surgical. You can have two masks.
Yeah, mask.
Or you could have the gaiter, but no, you can't have the gaiter anymore. Then you have the surgical. Now you got to go N95. So around here, where everyone just lockstep, okay, whatever.
Yeah, we're all what you're saying. Right, boss.
And so everyone in the area is wearing these stupid looking N95 masks, which
it looks like a muzzle, a proper muzzle. That's what it looks like.
Yes, it does. Now that you mention it. It's not like the original N95s that I remember at the beginning of this. They were kind of like a fishbowl shape, globe that would fit around the butt. Now they're like pointy.
Yes, they're like a coffee filter on your face.
Yeah, but it's pointy, but it's a little more bigger than it's like.
And they suffocate you. This is
a pointy, funny looking mask that looks like a beak. It almost looks
like one of those old school ones. Yeah,
bird beak.
Yeah.
So it looks like a beak. So I'm going into Berkeley when I saw the communists. You know, they got the Heimer and sickle there and the whole thing. And so everyone in Berkeley, everyone is wearing, instead of wearing just, you know, there's a few people just wear the surgical mask. Who cares? But no, 90% of the people are wearing these stupid looking N95 masks, which have got to be impossible to breathe through.
There's people now posting videos where they wear an N95, they go out for a half hour walk, they come back, and then they use one of those blood oxygen detectors that you can hook up to your phone, and they're below 90%.
It's probably killing people.
But that's like getting ready for mechanical ventilation time. When you get into the 80s, you got to be careful. Yeah. Imagine what it's doing to kids. Oh, this, put that, strap that thing on your kid's face. So, okay, so that's our messaging. And of course, it's the same virus everywhere, but different countries are responding differently. And Scandinavia has not gotten the message, we're going to pump the brakes.
One other pandemic headline, Quebec, Canada will soon be issuing fines to people who are unvaccinated. The money will benefit the healthcare system. Quebec residents will also need to be vaccinated to buy alcohol at government-run stores.
Oh, please. I have the, we should play this. This is, it's a little long, but this is the premier of Ottawa or Quebec. He's the premier of Quebec.
Quebec, yeah.
And he's the one who's going to start putting these fines. Now, I had two versions. I have him actually saying the same thing in English. But when I got the translated version of him saying it in French, it's a little more ominous. And he says more things when he speaks French. So I have a translation of what they're going to do and why they're going to do it. And this is really pathetic. And I feel sorry for the Canadians, the public at large, sorry, even though I'm sure most of them are all in. I mean, just like, you know, Megan and other people that, you know, they're just all in. I mean, it's a
well,
choice you make.
Listen, just so we're clear on this, I'm getting emails from people saying, we are lost, help. You know, like the Titanic is sinking. Some people sound kind of like they're in despair about this. And I can understand, because now what can you do? You can't even get booze. And now it's gone too far.
Dang, something's got to give. But here's Canadians, Canada. They're going to talk about fees. Now the thing is, if you don't get vaxxed, you're going to pay a fee.
Not a fine, a fee. This is really cool. And it goes to benefit the healthcare system.
Well, he never says that.
Oh, that's what we heard in the first report.
Yeah, well, that's probably softening the blow. Here it is.
The important and obviously specialists confirm it. The risks are far lower for hospitalizations when we've received our doses. And in that case, I want to repeat it. Quebecers have been models. The large majority of Quebecers, when it's their turn to go get vaccinated, will get vaccinated. But unfortunately, there is still a small minority, and we're talking about 10% of the population, who refuse vaccination. So even if there's no medical danger for these people, they refuse to get vaccinated. And you know, I understand and I feel this unhappiness from Quebecers towards this minority,
wow,
who are in all proportions filling up our hospitals, because I have the numbers.
Oh.
And even if it's 10% only of adults who are not vaccinated in Quebec,
it's 10% too many.
50% of hospital beds that are being taken up in the intensive care who are unvaccinated people. So I understand why it's very angering, because it lays a significant burden, far too important, on our healthcare system. And that's why I'm announcing that we are currently working on a health contribution that will be charged to all adults in Quebec who refuse vaccination. Now, obviously, those who cannot get vaccinated for medical reasons will be excluded, but we think this is where we're at now. So people who refuse vaccination cause a burden on the staff, a financial burden, a significant burden for the majority of Quebecers. So it's not true that this 10% of the population will come and hinder the 90% of the population. So we are looking at amounts. We want the amount to be significant, and it's going to be a new health contribution that will be required.
I love this. This is a great setting of precedence, because sometime in the future, you will be reminded that we charged fees for people overloading the system So that fee now will be tacked on to every cigarette you smoke, every alcoholic beverage you drink. And why not just track you on the smartphone? And if you're not walking enough, fee, because you're not healthy.
It looks as though they're going to charge $5,000.
That's a stiff fee. That's a fee and a half. Wow. That's a big ass fee.
He went on. This went longer and longer. And he went on saying he doesn't want the fee to be something that doesn't hurt.
No. Well, I think $1,000 would have hurt too, but okay.
It's trending toward $5,000.
That's crazy.
Canadians.
So before we can let this peter out, and I do have some thoughts on how this will end and what where we're going to go from here, we got to clean some stuff up first. Now, we tried it with Gavin Newsom. We failed. We tried it with Cuomo. Well, we got him out, but on other grounds. Who else was out and about? What elites?
Bojo.
Who?
Your governor.
Who? My governor.
Wasn't your governor didn't go to Cabo or something?
Oh, no. That's Abbott, Adler, the mayor. Yes, the mayor. Yes. Okay. The mayor.
Didn't get rid of him either.
Well, they're working on him. One of his aides, turns out, accepted bribes for a no bid contract, and Adler might have been involved. So they might be trying to get rid of him. But the guy who is solidly in the crosshairs is Bojo.
The Brits are not biting their tongues when it comes to lashing out against Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
Can I ask lashing the minister out. Here today, does he still believe the Prime Minister to be a man of honour and integrity?
Yeah. I want him gone. I want politicians I can respect. And he doesn't have any respect.
The latest allegations of a COVID rule-breaking party at 10 Downing Street stemmed from a leaked email published by ITV News, calling on more than 100 staff members to, quote, make the most of this lovely weather with a BYOB garden party on May 20th, 2020, a time when COVID restrictions in the UK banned people from meeting with more than one person outside their household and outdoors. Prime Minister Boris Johnson earlier that same day.
You can sit in the sun in your local park. You can drive to other destinations. You can even play sports, but only with members of your own household.
On social media, outrage came in the form of photos of what people did on that day following the rules. The backlash in Parliament included one member who broke down, recalling the death of a family member.
No, this was good.
Who died alone.
Well,
his emotions rendering him unintelligible, but others were clear in their disdain.
Versus how he usually
he's
sounds from the, from the backbench.
Emotions rendering him unintelligible, but others were clear in their disdain for Johnson, who did not attend session on Monday.
His absence speaks volumes, as does his smirks on the media. The public have already drawn their own conclusions. He can run, but he can't hide.
The Prime Minister has continually denied several similar events took place.
I certainly broke no rules,
including one that led to the resignation of his press secretary after leaked video caught her joking about an alleged Christmas party. All the allegations now the subject of an internal inquiry.
What do you think? Will they get him out with this? Seems weak.
I have a similar report from NPR.
Oh, okay.
We can talk about it, but I do want to mention that, again, when I listened to the NPR's update on Omicron, when I first heard this story, I'm thinking, isn't this a repeat of of something else that Bojo did? But because it was the Christmas party I was thinking
about. Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
And so I had to, with a bunch of these stories that I clipped, I literally had to go online and check to see if that was maybe I'd recorded it. A show from weeks ago or
no, because the event took place a year ago and it only came out.
That didn't help.
No.
I've had trouble with my timeline today. So I have more Bojo problems, NPR.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has apologized for attending a garden party at number 10 Downing Street in 2020. That's when such events were banned because of the coronavirus pandemic. NPR's Frank Langfitt reports from London. The revelations have infuriated many Britons.
Addressing Britain's House of Commons, Johnson said he went to the gathering to thank staffers.
I believed implicitly that this was a work event. But Mr. Speaker, with hindsight, I should have sent everyone back inside.
But opposition Labour Party leader Keir Starmer said the public thinks Johnson is just lying.
After months of deceit and deception, the pathetic spectacle of a man who's run out of road. Is he now going to do the decent thing and resign?
Johnson has given no indication he will step down.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that. That makes no sense.
Why should he? He didn't have to.
Well, that's, you know, this is all politics, of course. But here's some more evidence that they're tapering this down. Ooh, I use the T word. This is from the Associated Press, AP News. Why Omicron is changing how media outlets report on COVID data. So this is AP. Isn't the AP style guide something that's universally accepted by many newsrooms, or am I old fashioned in this thinking?
It's one of the style guides that a lot of people use. It's very common. I have a copy, and New York Times has one, I believe. There's also a couple of others, but AP is a common style guide that would be, that editors would say, hey, you're not too funny, your style guide, even though they don't, none of them seem to follow the style guide at all.
Well, they have released what I would call as an update to their style guide. I'll read this briefly. For 2 years, coronavirus case counts and hospitalizations have been widely used barometers of the pandemic's march across the world. Correct. We've seen this on every television screen. But the Omicron wave is making a mess of the usual statistics, forcing news organizations to rethink the way they report the figures. Quote, it's just a data disaster, says Catherine Wu, staff writer who covers COVID-19 for Atlantic magazine.
You're not reading from the style guide.
No, I'm reading from the AP report, and then they have a style guide edition coming up in three paragraphs.
Okay.
The number of case counts soared over the holidays, an expected development given the emergence of a variant more transmissible than its predecessors. Yet these counts only reflect what is reported by health authorities. They do not include most people who test themselves at home or are infected without even knowing about it. Holidays and weekends also lead to lags in reported cases. If you could add all those numbers up, and you can't, case counts would likely be substantially higher. For that reason, here it comes. The Associated Press has recently told its editors and reporters to avoid emphasizing case counts in stories about the disease. That means, for example, no more stories focused solely on a particular country or state setting a one-day record for number of cases, because that claim has become unreliable.
I just played a clip from PBS. We're number one. They're going on and on about it. Well, so they're not obviously using this.
Well, this just came out. This just came out. Let me see when this came out. Hold on. I think it came out today. No, yesterday. So was that clip before yesterday? Before the official bugle? Maybe they didn't read the bugle call. They didn't read it.
Well, I don't know if NPR, you know, a lot of these news broadcasters.
Okay, but let's look at another thing. The NCAA, the National... what does NCAA stand for? National College Athletic Association?
No, NCAA, the National College Athletic Association. Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking, when you said it, I was thinking something else. Go on.
Yeah, you thought I was talking about the NAC. Never mind. Quote, athletes who had COVID will now be considered fully vaccinated, which is technically correct. If you have antibodies from having COVID, you are vaccinated by the definition, the medical definition, not the Merriam-Webster's.
That's an interesting move.
Yeah.
Again, this is because of the money.
Of course. What? You're kidding me. Individuals within 90 days of a documented COVID-19 infection fall within the equivalent of, quote, fully vaccinated, which is super interesting because I've heard the science talk, the science I've heard is, well, you know, natural immunity begins to fall off after 3 months. So I don't know why they peg this 90 days. But I mean, you cannot be forcing kids in colleges to get a vaccination if the same college's athletes are considered fully vaccinated after having had it for 90 days after having had a documented infection. And this is why we're also seeing actual students doing what their parents won't do. They are now protesting. They're saying, hey, we don't want to do boosters. That should be a personal choice. We're done with it. Let me see what schools are doing this. It's New York City. Oh, well, yeah, but I'm just saying New York City. Thousands of students walked out of class, and tomorrow they're planning one in Boston, Oakland, California, Chicago. So this is going to happen everywhere. So this has to end. But test to stay. You identified it. Test to stay is on deck. And I, you know, seeing that the Biden, this is what I don't understand. So we have spent, I think, $200 million getting masks out, and $500 million or more getting 50 million test kits to schools. So we're paying for that. So now we are giving this to the schools. That's exactly what I heard from our teacher producers and friends. You give every one of your now 60 students, because that's how crazy the class size have become, you give them a test every single day. So it's test to stay. Biden is requiring insurance companies to cover free-at-home COVID tests starting this weekend.
They can't do that.
You can if the government pays them for it. Hello? Of course, that's exactly what's going on here. But here's what's the background of this, is why I think this won't last very long. Certainly the teachers, I've heard multiple examples of teachers saying, oh, I tested positive, I can't come in for 5 days. And then they're just chilling out on the beach. I was talking to Dwight, who was delivering the whole house generator tomorrow. He said, I'll deliver it tomorrow, but I got to find guys to put it in because all my young guys are out. And I said, what's on? What's going on? I said, yeah, COVID. I said, uh-huh. He says, yeah, exactly. He says, these dipshits, they're just saying, oh, I got COVID. And then Mike had a contractor, and the contractor canceled on him because of COVID, and he was telling someone else, said, oh, he used that on you too? He had COVID 2 weeks ago working for me. So this is, you know, this is a very interesting...
This is the way Americans operate.
It's actually the way socialism operates with a net. Because,
well, okay, that's the way people operate.
Right, well, when
use any angle you can to not work.
So when I was growing up in the Netherlands, where Social Security was, they paid 90% of your last paycheck for like a 6 months or a year. And I'm talking the 70s. And, you know, you could say, I'm sick, I'm home. A lot of people would have, oh, I have back pain. They'd be home for 2 months, and they get paid. And the company, of course, has to temporarily replace somebody. Very socialist regime, very socialist at the time. But what happened is, then the neighbors are all looking through their curtains, which in the Netherlands are typically open anyway, and they're seeing the same guy, you know, going out on a couple of gigs. You know, he's got his trailer hitched up. He's laying some brick for somebody. Oh, wait a minute. So you can just get paid and work on the side. Guess what?
Double dipping.
I'm going to do it too. And that's what leads to a very unhealthy economy and even sicker society, probably long term.
Yeah.
Now, good. So I think what we're going to see, I've looked at a whole bunch of different testing technologies. Maybe this is why Bill Gates has not yet uncloaked. I think there will be a sensor that you can Bluetooth attach to your phone, and it'll be, you get the sensor. I'm sorry, the Biden administration will send everybody one for free. The insurance companies will quote unquote pay for it. You spit on the sensor, you breathe on the sensor. I don't know what you urinate on the sensor, and it will test you for a myriad of things, because that's just a question of a simple upgrade. And that will be the control mechanism going forward. No vaccine passports. It'll be testing. And then we can test all kinds of stuff.
Well, you know, they have, it's in the Build Back Better bill.
Mm-hmm.
Automobiles have to be equipped in 2026 with all kinds of sensors to make sure that you're, you know,
not
you
drunk. Drive. Yeah, not that you're not.
They have a
impaired.
Drunk thing. You have to breathe into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to breathe into it to start your car. No. No one's buying these cars.
So, in the grand scheme of just And I could give you any version of it, but I think there's a lot of leaders around the world who are like, oh, you know, I don't want to lose this control. Whether they think it directly and consciously or not, they kind of are loving this control, and there's so many benefits, and we can do stuff with climate change, and they're just seeing we got to keep people kind of in this mode. And maybe this is just a trial balloon. It was interesting to see Malone bring this up on the Banyan podcast over there on the War Room, which makes me even more suspicious of Dr. Malone. This is the report, the new virus outbreak in China.
COVID is not the only concern. China is treating more cases of hemorrhagic fever, often caused by hantavirus, which tends to tick up around this time of year. While the early symptoms look much like a common cold, severe cases can cause organ failure or bleeding from the mouth, eyes, or ears. Hantaviruses spread mainly through rodents. Transmission from human to human is rare. Officials say preventing COVID-19 remains the main priority.
This sounds like deja vu to me. Haven't we had hantavirus scares before?
Yeah, hantavirus was in the news. It's a cycle. And okay. I remember first hearing about it in the 70s in New Mexico.
Right.
And Arizona, people were getting hantavirus from some rats. There's some mice.
Yes, I think I remember that.
Yeah, there's a mouse floating around, and everyone's getting hantavirus from it. Something's fish. I don't know why they run these stories. I want to play a clip of Eric Weinstein. He did a whole podcast, 2 hours of his Dark Horse podcast.
Wait, no, that's Brett. Brett does the Dark Horse. Eric is his brother. Eric is not married to the NPR lady.
The one that's not involved with Peter Thiel.
Yeah, that's Brett, not Eric. Brett.
Oh, okay. Well, Brett. Brett.
This is like the Naomis. You know, we can't figure out Naomi Klein, Naomi Wolf. You know, it's like we're confused all around.
Okay. So anyway, the Dark Horse podcast.
Yeah.
So he's all of a sudden.
Wait a minute. Is Heather on the show?
I don't remember that he is. By the way, talking about that, which brings it to make, you know, once a woman's on the show, there's a zoo.
And, yeah, then you have a morning zoo, yeah.
You know who's on, who's got a zoo element now? I think somebody told him to do it because he's never been good on radio. Hannity.
Oh, he's got
Hannity's
a,
he's got some goofy woman.
He's got a sidekick? He's got a sidekick now?
He's got a female sidekick.
Does she do stuff like this? Oh, Sean! Does she do stuff like that? Does she have like an accent to go with it? She's got to have something special. Can't just be a sweet. Does she read
it? Kind of like that. I think it's like you said the first.
Yeah, like,
oh, Sean.
Oh, Sean. Oh, there he goes again. Is that kind of her job?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good.
So Brett, we're talking about Brett. He's the ousted Evergreen professor, right? That's the guy we're talking about.
Yeah, so he, I guess, has discovered vitamin D.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Has he finally started listening to the No Agenda show for 15 years? Oh, I lost you, John.
I'm here.
Okay. I said, has he finally started listening to the No Agenda show after 15 years of us saying vitamin D?
No. We've been talking about vitamin. I mean, we've been on the vitamin D. I've been on the vitamin D for almost 20 years.
Yeah. And then you brought it to my attention. And here's how it started. When I feel a cold coming on, I OD on vitamin D. And I just slam down 50,000 units before breakfast.
Those aren't the numbers. And
what are the numbers?
Doctors.
What are the numbers?
I don't give the number out because I'm not a doctor and I'm not giving medical advice to anybody.
Oh, yeah, but it's not advice. You're just telling people what you do. I took your advice. You're not non-advice. I'm still here.
Yeah, you're still here. Okay. And it turns out that the vitamin D toxicity thing is all something of a scam. He mentions that, too. But he discovered it, and he's so beside himself with this discovery that he's stunned. He's stunned. And I'm thinking, geez. And so, but he brings up an interesting point, and he brings two doctors on that have done research on this. And one of them is very interesting, this female. She talks about how her report was, they had to edit, they wouldn't let her run her report on vitamin D because she mentions that people with high pigments, you know,
black and brown people, yeah.
They can't get enough vitamin D, and that may be the reason that brown people have a higher number getting COVID.
Of course.
And it was like, no, you can't say that.
It is the number one reason. We had a nurse tell us that just on the last show.
Exactly. And so she says that the idea is that no, it ruins the narrative that black and brown people get lousy health care. And that's the reason they're getting COVID.
She said that? She said that that's why they wouldn't let her put that in there?
Yeah.
Wow.
She fought it, and it ended up in the report anyway, so she ended up winning. But Weinstein has this very interesting observation, and throughout the whole 2 hours, he keeps going back to it and kind of proves the third element of this observation here. And just play this about the health departments, which, of course, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're responsible for this whole mess because they've done such a crappy job. And we've had other instances of people, so-called masters of public health, you know, getting a position of power and then abusing it, mm-hmm. because they shouldn't be. They're just basically rat poop inspectors. They should just stay that way.
Eric Weinstein, and
the health system.
Inflammatory accusation. Now, I know, because I have been tracking the very same question, that the degree to which public health authorities fail to recommend that which works and continue to recommend things that either do not work or are risky, that if you start with the model of public health authorities, let's say we've got three different models. Public health authorities are basically competent and they're doing as well as they can in light of an emerging situation. Public health authorities are incompetent and they are doing as well as they can, which isn't very well at all. Or public health authorities are actively doing that which prolongs the pandemic and causes COVID to continue to spread. Actually, the third model is the most predictive. It is surprising. I can't imagine why anyone would want this. And I am continually looking for that sign that, in fact, this is, at, you know, it would be better if it was incompetence, because at least we can do something about that. The problem is incompetence just doesn't explain it. And vitamin D, to me, is the obvious proof of this, because when you look into the truth of vitamin D, as is beautifully presented in your most recent paper, which I have here, it turns out that the fears that we might have about vitamin D are ill-founded. They are, in fact, based on an over-extrapolation of what happens with vitamin A.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So anyone who needs a little promotion, a little boost on getting their speed up to speed on vitamin D, seek this podcast out. It's 2 hours. Very educational. It's a little, as you can tell, because everybody that's around this guy, he's
slow down to a crawl
to the evergreen students, and you have to talk slow.
This is the one time
of evergreen.
This is the one time I allow and almost encourage speed listening. It's okay to hit 2x speed on that podcast. It's okay. No, not okay. Hey, well, so along those lines, we do have a new piece of information you probably saw. The Journal of Natural Products published a study. As it turns out, cannabinoids block cellular entry of SARS-CoV-2 and the emerging variants. Well, this is an interesting little data point, particularly if you go back 2 weeks in history and you see this headline: Pfizer bets on medical cannabis with $6.7 billion acquisition.
Who did they buy?
Not a company for COVID.
A private company.
They bought Arena Pharmaceuticals, and Arena Pharmaceuticals is a biotech company. Their pipeline is dedicated to cannabinoid therapeutics. They do not have a COVID therapeutic. They currently have a therapeutic which treats patients with diseases affecting the stomach and intestine. But that's a big number. And it's just coincidental. I mean, I'm not saying that one has anything to do with the other, but it's always fun to see that happening within 2 weeks. Hey, we bought this cool company. Hey, look what weed does. Don't get any ideas. It's a compound. You can't just smoke the flower, okay? That won't work.
You know, this is annoying because...
yeah,
quite. Because this was... I remember years ago, there was a 60 Minutes special, this Israeli researcher, and he is still famous. I can't remember his name offhand, but he was the number one researcher in the world of of various cannabinoid products. I think he's the one who discovered CBD, for example, possibly. And but he was developing all these, and he looked into all the kinds of crazy stuff that it was that pot was good for, and it was meanwhile illegal to even research pot in the United States.
Couldn't
even do this research.
Even during Obama era, there was lots of complaints about that. We can't do the research, man.
Yeah, we can't do the research. We can't do anything.
Here's your research.
This guy brought it up that, you know, we can do, everyone does, can do research, but you, how come you can't do research on this? What's the point? What are you trying to, what are you doing? And I think it was just a cover up that, you know, there was things that marijuana products, and CBD is a good example. My wife is a huge fan of CBDs because she has arthritic hands.
She uses and the lavender blossom salt, right?
You put that stuff on it, everything's good to go. And a lot of, in fact, I've said this before on the show about 10 years ago when they legalized pot in Washington State. And I went to a couple of the pot shops, the early ones. And the first thing you run it, the first thing you notice when you go into a pot shop in some of these outlier states like Washington, Colorado, I'm sure it's the same. I haven't been to a pot shop here, but there may be some evidence is similar. But the first thing you notice, especially in these cold states, the places loaded up, the customers, all old women. All of them.
Yeah.
There's no potheads in there. They're all old women.
Yeah, it's to them, it's a pharmacy. Of course.
Because they're all old women, and they get, a lot of them have arthritis.
It's,
and
the,
they,
it's the holy herb. Yeah, it's the holy herb, man. We all know. Hello.
Well,
since you're discussing Washington State, this is almost one. I'm almost done with this, but this has been interesting because I've read what I thought was a proposed law or a law or some legislation that included this language, and the denial is everywhere about the Washington State gulag camps.
And health officials in Washington State are responding to a claim on social media. The rumor says the state is considering forcing unvaccinated residents into quarantine camps. Washington officials say they had to deal with over 30,000 public comments related to this rumor. They deny that there is such a plan and say the state's quarantine policies remain the same. The existing regulation does permit health officials to issue emergency detention orders under certain circumstances.
Okay, what's the vibe up in Washington State? Which part of the story do people like and not like?
Jeez. Well, it's the... here, let me read you this. I got one. This, I'm going to read you a classic Washington. So what the problem is, Inslee, the guy's nuts.
That's the governor.
A crackpot and a lunatic. And he's the one when he ran for president.
Easy, who you're calling a crackpot there, Chief.
He said when he ran for president, his announcement was, the first thing I'm going to do when I'm elected president, and he ran on this thinking he was going to win, is declare a national climate emergency.
Yeah, yes, I remember this. Yeah.
Let me read this. Let me read an article. This is a classic Washington State stuff here. Kittitas County, Washington. Kittitas County says the Washington State Department of Transportation reportedly refused help from the county to clear roads during a significant snowfall because the county does not require employees to be vaccinated. Last week, Kittitas County got several feet of snow blocking I-90 and Highway I-97 for 3 days. Screw the public, causing freight deliveries to be delayed and closing all the state's major passes. On Tuesday, the Kittitas County Department of Public Works reportedly offered assistance to clear the state roadways, but WSDOT, the Washington State Department of Transportation, whose leader should be fired, said they would not accept the assistance because the county does not have a vaccine mandate. Can you believe this?
Yes, of course I can. You're right. The guys actually have the 39-second clip. I think this is the climate crisis debates. Want me to play that to see if it's anything that we remember?
Washington Governor in 2020.
Sorry, Amy, trigger warning.
20 presidential hopeful Jay Inslee says the Democratic National Committee is refusing to schedule a candidate debate on the climate crisis. Oh. Inslee said Thursday he was told by the DNC that if he participates in any non-DNC affiliated debate on the climate, he would be disinvited to future debates held by the DNC. Inslee called the move a deeply disappointing attempt to blacklist candidates. He said in a statement, quote, the DNC is silencing the voices of Democratic activists, many of our progressive partner organizations, and nearly half the Democratic presidential field who want to debate the existential crisis of our time, Inslee said.
Oh, that's his donors, I guess. Hey, man, my donors want to bring this up, okay? We've got to talk about it. And they've done nothing because they don't have a vaccine, man. That's great. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And most places.
By the way, it doesn't mean they're not vaccinated. The entire crew of the snowplow guys could all be vaccinated.
It's just because of the mandate. But that's what I mean. It's like, well, we have a shortage of workers because of the mandate. Well, you don't have a mandate. Well, we can't work. I mean, is that the workers? Is that the union? Who's saying we can't work? You don't have a mandate. Can't go. Who's saying that?
Well, in the case of the DOT, it was the Washington State Department of Transportation that said it.
Unbelievable. Why don't they just send out their vaccinated people? Everyone is declared.
No. That was they could say they're all vaccinated. It's not they have to have a mandate.
Yeah, they want laws.
You could be 100% vaccinated, but that's not the same as having a mandate. Hello, virtue signaling folks.
All right, so unless you have anything else on COVID, I need to move to one last topic before our break.
I think I might have. Let me just take a
quick one more thing here.
Let's do the Fauci. I have to say, since I used to play the Fauci Rand Paul back and forth, and you always bristled because you really don't like Rand Paul.
Well, he grandstands a lot.
A lot?
He grandstands.
But
I liked him in this. I actually watched this debate yesterday.
Well, I like it. Cut out Rand Paul.
I just left in Fauci. Ooh, this is a piece of art.
So I have Fauci defending himself, which just as a standalone piece. And I think he makes one good point in here. And he pleads for his safety. And he makes a point that Paul is doing what we see all the time. And the two of us bitch about this.
By the way, just for a second, that was something else Megyn Kelly mentioned. She said, it's really horrible that he's getting death threats. Of course, many of us get them, or sometimes they threaten your loved ones. It's a very horrible situation. She went on for that for a bit about how Fauci was. Yeah, she probably does.
Hello, Megyn Kelly, that any woman.
By the way, a lot of. Ooh, playing the woman card.
I'm going to play a woman card, but every woman I've ever worked with in broadcasting always has a stalker.
Yeah.
And they get a lot of threats, and some of them are nuts.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
They have some nutty stalkers they have, and usually they call them my stalker.
This reminds me of a story. Do you mind if
I'm all ears.
It's a stalker story. My first wife, before we were married, living in Amsterdam, I came home. I had an apartment in the Beethovenstraat, one floor up above, I think it was above a bakery. So I come home, and as I'm opening the door, a guy comes up to me, and he says, okay, just go inside. And he has a knife. And so I'm inside, and he's holding this knife up to me. And he's like, where's Patricia? Where's Patricia? I need to see her now. And I was like, well, she's not here, even though I knew she was there. She's not here. And I think it took me about 30 minutes to talk him out of it. Because, of course, he was his whole thing is, you're leaving for America. You're taking her with. And she was a very famous singer. So that's for context. You're taking her with you, and you're taking her away from me. And I said, oh, man, don't worry about it. You know, she'll come and visit. Whatever I said, I got out of it. It was really, really sad. And the guy stood out across the street for a little bit until I finally had one of my goons go out and take care of him. But it was quite frightening.
Yeah. Well, that Megyn Kelly has got to be a real target.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because she's a very good-looking woman.
That's a joke, by the way. I didn't have my goons take care of him. That's a joke.
You said that. You said
I know
goons.
I said it. I had no goons.
Did you call the police?
No, I had my cameraman happened to come by, and there were these guys across the street, and his name is Paolo. Paolo was like those 6'5", 300-pound camera guys.
Samoan, if you like.
Samoan, pretty much. But he's a very sweet man, so we went out and talked to him, and he urged him to go home. So it worked out okay.
I bet he did.
But the kid was sending letters to MTV for years after that. Anyway.
Well, that's the problem. There's a bunch of these people out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they get it. They're attracted to certain women. And Megyn Kelly looks like a super target. And I can see where it would bother her that Fauci would say
scary.
What he said.
It's scary.
In this particular clip. Yeah. Well, you know, arms training doesn't hurt. All right. Here we go.
Dr. Fauci to respond. We have a number of senators who would like to ask questions, and I would like him to be able to respond. Please do.
So the last time we had a committee or the time before, he was accusing me of being responsible for the death of 4 to 5 million people, which is really irresponsible. And I say, why is he doing that? There are two reasons why that's really bad. The first is it distracts from what we're all trying to do here today, is get our arms around the epidemic and the pandemic that we're dealing with, not something imaginary. Number two, what happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there, and I have life that threats upon my life, harassment of my family and my children with obscene phone calls because people are lying about me. Now, you know, I guess you could say, well, that's the way it goes. I can take the hit. Well, it makes a difference because, as some of you may know, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago on December 21st, a person was arrested who was on their way from Sacramento to Washington, D.C. at a speed stop in Iowa. And the police asked him where he was going, and he was going to Washington, D.C. to kill Dr. Fauci. And they found in his car an AR-15 and multiple magazines of ammunition, because he thinks that maybe I'm killing people. So I ask myself, why would Senator want to do this? So go to Rand Paul website, and you see Fire Dr. Fauci with a little box that says, contribute here. You can do $5, $10, $20, $100. So you are making a catastrophic epidemic for your political gain. So the
you
only
have
thing
politically the only attacked thing your can, colleagues and in a politically reprehensible
the
way
thing
attacked
that I
their reputations.
Okay,
you won't defend it.
No,
you won't argue it.
I'm
You'll just
sorry,
simply
we're
turn
going
around
to
the
continue
attack.
Continue this hearing. Yeah. We have a number of questions. Right.
Just one more minute.
All right, this is very good. Two things that strike me immediately. One is, look how well the programming worked on Megyn. This is his defense. This is a defense of gain of function research and DARPA's involvement and the funding of it illegally. His defense is something that triggers, well, people like Megyn. She was triggered by it. And I'm sure there was no mention of the fact that because Rand Paul's neighbor thought he was killing people, that he got beaten within an inch of his life. Inch of his life. So who's the one that has experience with that, Dr. Fauci? Yeah, it was amazing to watch him defend everything with "you're just here for politics."
Best.
I'm sorry.
He's the best. I think Fauci.
He's very good.
Watching
at
him
it.
Over the years dance.
He's very good at it.
He's astonishingly good.
So, what was our clue that something was going down before 2020? It was Event 201. And
yes, Event 201 was a well. You're the one. I'm the one who brought Event 201 in, but you're the one who always has this theory that there's somebody doing a simulation day before some event happens, coincidentally in nearby the area. So,
it happens a lot. It happens.
You pointed this out at least a half dozen times.
Per year. It happens a lot. Like, oh, there was a mass shooting drill just a week before. Oh, okay. And now maybe they just do a lot of drills. It's possible.
But they do as many drills.
But this one was very annoying, and this is in the backdrop of the cyber pandemic. COVID-19 would look like a speck on your donkey's ass compared to the cyber pandemic. December 9th, Jerusalem. This is an exclusive from Reuters that came out yesterday. Exclusive. Oh, sorry, on the 9th. Exclusive, IMF.
Exclusive.
Yeah, it says exclusive from Reuters. 10 yeah, countries simulate cyber attack on global financial system. See, now we're talking. It took place in Israel. This is 1 week ago. They led a 10-country simulation of a major cyber attack on the global financial system in an attempt to increase cooperation that could help to minimize any potential damage to financial markets and banks. The simulated war game, as the Israelis finance ministry called it, planned over the past year. So this is not a long-term thing. They planned it over the past year. Evolved over 10 days with sensitive data emerging on the dark web. The simulation also used fake news reports that in the scenario caused chaos in global markets and a run on the banks. And here it comes. The simulation, likely caused by what officials called sophisticated players, featured several types of attack that impacted global foreign exchange and bond markets, liquidity, integrity of data and transactions between importers and exporters. Wow, that would explain a lot, wouldn't it? Hey, I'm broke and I can't buy anything. Oh, cyber attack. And here's the money quote. Here come the money quotes. So they had one of those films, you know, where they have a fake film and it's like these are the news reports and it's all part of the simulation. The narrator of the film says, and I don't have any of this. I've been desperate to get my Event 201 came out much later, the actual video, or maybe they've gotten smart too, but I haven't been able to find any video. The narrator says, these events are creating havoc in the financial markets. Attackers are 10 steps ahead of the defender. This initiative was called Collective Strength, and it included treasury officials from Israel, the United States, United Kingdom, the United Arab Emirates, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, and Thailand, as well, of course, as representatives. It was an IMF operation, apparently, or drill, along with the World Bank and Bank of International Settlements. And here's the final one. The narrator of the film in this simulation said governments were under pressure to clarify the impact of the attack, which was paralyzing the global financial system. So here's the quote. If you ever see this in print or you hear it on television, head for the hills. Ready? Quote, the banks are appealing for emergency liquidity assistance in a multitude of currencies to put a halt to the chaos as counterparties withdraw their funds and limit access to liquidity, leaving the banks in disarray and ruin. Holy crap. Print us out of the cyber pandemic. I love this exercise. This could be dynamite.
Yeah, if you're short.
Well, no, because everything will be frozen. And then the only thing you can do is download your central bank digital currency app or whatever they have figured out, because it'll all be frozen. This is such a good idea.
Well, there's something. Yeah, I can see. I'm surprised something hasn't happened already. I think the criminal element that can do this, and I think they're out there. And I think they could be state players like Russia, Ukraine. Ukraine's always considered one of the best. Iran is major.
Let's just do Russia. It's easier. Everyone.
Well, Russia is the one you want to always blame. Yeah. I'm guessing more likely to be somebody else. But this is to say it's organized crime. They are never going to break the bank on this deal because they could be siphoning off billions as we speak and no one would ever know. It's just a rounding error in today's massive economy.
Right.
So I think that it would stay that way. If I was running this thing and I had somehow way of siphoning, it's like the movie Office Space where they take a couple pennies out of the coffers by the computer and next thing you know, they got, you know,
Well, I have a different view. I think the way things have been running, certainly with the amount of stimulus we've been generating around the world, certainly the U.S. dollar, this is the best way. You don't have to be criminal. You just sit close to the money supply and you catch it. But the banks are getting injected, the companies, bonds are being purchased, all of this stuff. Why do anything illegal? Just print more. So I don't see it that way as stealing little bits and bobs. And this is, to me, a complete false flag. Here, this is, and this, I'll shut up now, but this
Well, it'll be on the show.
EU to stage large-scale cyber attack exercise. Let me see when they're going to do this. It will be here. 6 weeks exercise to stress test Europe's resilience, strengthen preparedness, and cooperation amongst member states. And this is to see the effect on, wait for it, supply chains. What a beautiful way to explain a problem. Can't get any bread or milk, supply chain, cyber attack, ransomware. That's Bloomberg. So this is just all out there. It's
ransomware.
It's ransomware. What's your problem? Baby, not tonight. I have ransomware. That's just,
I got ransomware problems, baby.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage, the man who put the C into the quantum, the quarantine camps, but I'll take quantum. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
In the morning to you, Mr. John Carell. So in the morning to all ships and sea boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, all the dames.
Hey, in the morning to our trolls in the troll room. How you doing, trolls? I don't know if there's many trolls in there today. It hasn't been that active. Joke. Let's count them. Let's say. Put your hands up, trolls. Let's see. Yeah, see, I felt it. 2186. Low. Trolls are abandoning us.
Well, we got a holiday weekend coming up.
Ooh, what is the holiday? What holiday is this?
I asked Mimi.
There's a holiday?
Says, oh, it's President's Day. Oh. No, it's Martin Luther King Day.
Oh. Does that mean we also have mattress sales, or is that only with President's Day?
Martin Luther King mattress sale.
Yeah. Huh. MLK mattresses.
There's some jokes. There's some obviously racial jokes you can make, but I wouldn't even think.
No, bad idea. Bad idea. The trolls are there to troll. But you can sit in there 24 hours a day, just like a troll bridge. We sit underneath it. Go to trollroom.io. There's thousands of people there. Oh, and of course, this is simulcast with noagendastream.com. So you can listen to us live and troll. It's simulcast. That M5M word just slipped in, didn't it? It's simulcast on the noagendastream.com. It's a good place to go hang out. You'll be introduced to some people. If you're not on noagendasocial.com yet, ask people if they know of any other good Mastodon servers. We have ITM slaves. We have noagendasocial.nl. I know there's more.
I think there should be Yo Agenda.
Oh, that would be a good one. Yoagenda.social. Yeah. And what's cool about it, like the Dutch guys and gals, they've got their own Mastodon, and they do their stuff in Dutch, but you can follow them. They can follow the main noagendasocial.com. In fact, you can follow John at noagendasocial.com or Adam at noagendasocial.com.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm sorry, John C. Dvorak, yes. Correction. Now let us thank the artist who brought us the artwork for episode 1415. There you go, 1,415 episodes of this show. We titled that one Equity Hotel. Sir Ned took the trophy there with his fabulous depiction of the poor kid whose mom had thrown him in the trunk because he had COVID, and she was driving through the testing site, and she didn't want to get infected by her infectious, oozing human resource, so she threw in the trunk. And it was so cute, this little schoolboy with his backpack, his little knapsack. He's got his cute little school uniform on, and he's sitting in the back of a Ford.
That was a 1950. That's a stylized 1956 Ford.
Yeah. 56. It's not a Fairlane?
It could be. Well, you can't tell.
Okay. Well, yes, you can't. It was a very nice piece. Let me see what else we were looking at, because there were some other candidates, I believe. Let me see. We have...
Well, I like Mr. Lobato from Capitalist Agenda, and I almost used it on the newsletter. It was the robot. It really is off the wall. And why didn't it a lot.
And we didn't use it because...
Well, it was hard to read hard the Dvorak Curry right. thing at the bottom, and it's your constant complaining about the
well, it's too small. Yeah, if it's too small, then the
too small. It's too small.
You missed the joke,
which is what that's what she said.
Oh, okay.
And then you had there really wasn't. Oh, there's another version of the kid in the trunk. There's a couple of them. Yes. Actually, three.
Yeah.
Correct the Record had a good version with the kid being tested. It wasn't quite as funny. As the smiling kid. In fact, the trunk kid by Sir Net Ned, I will say it's a little different than what we normally accept as art, because it's very, very, it's not cartoony in the sense of Riley's cartoony.
No.
It's more cartoony in the sense of this will be the way I'll describe it, of a graphic artist who's been doing this too long and he's a little bored. It's like an old pro who's just been, okay, I'm still working this job, I guess. And I just noticed something on this art. He did it. He now used the 56 Ford, but he has a two-tone Ford, which was common in the 50s. He's got the red at the bottom and a kind of a beige top.
It's well funny. Done. Well done.
Yeah. A little. So Ned's probably older than we think. It wasn't a lot to choose from. I didn't think there was acceptable pieces, but nothing really. And then there's just a piece I never got. This was a CDC Says by Dame Kenny Ben. And she's got some guy with a knife and a barber pole and something written on it, and his eyes are blacked out, botched out.
Hey, where is this? On the first page or the second?
The bottom
page?
Of that page on the right.
Oh.
The bottom of page one.
Oh, right. CDC says get bang. So he's a barber. Yeah, see, this is when we played the clip of CDC Says, and then the host says to Walensky, should I get bangs? CDC Says, get bangs. It's okay to get bangs. So this is a barber. That's a straight-edge razor.
I get that part, but why is his eyes whited out?
It's a style, brother.
It doesn't look right.
Yeah, maybe he cut his nose off to spite his face.
And then, by the way, just for you artists out there, we're not going to run, and Darren O'Neill did this, and he knows better. There's a picture of Cuomo in a orange jumpsuit, like he's a prisoner. We're not right. We don't run pictures of people necessarily, and we're not going to run it. And it's an ugly picture. And I've said this before. We do not run ugly art.
No, we try not to.
Cuomo's an ugly guy. He's never going to be on the art. He's just generally, he's a horrible looking person.
I'm sure we'll probably use someone that is be unexpected. There's no real rhyme or reason, but for this particular pick, yeah, we're not going to put Cuomo on or Fauci.
That's our breakdown for the deconstruction of it.
Sir Net-Ned, thank you very much. Well done. Thank you to all the artists. All of this art can be reviewed at noagendaartgenerator.com, where you can contribute as well. I'd also say that we're working on something now. It's still kind of getting up and running. It's the cross app comments for podcasting 2.0. If you're on noagendasocial.com, you can comment and it'll show up in all these apps. And that even goes for people who are following me and John from afar, from a different server. And of course, you can also then see all of these images. It's really protecting, preserving, and enhancing podcasting. Try a modern podcast app at newpodcastapps.com. Now for the time, talent, and treasure portion of our thank you to our executive and associate executive producers. We focus our attention on our top donor for today, Michael Forney. And Michael is in the U.S., parts unknown. And he comes in with 1111, which is a very nice executive producership. Let's see what he has to say. Thank you both for your exceptional analysis of events and messaging that impact our lives. I am a physician on the inside and consistently impressed by your objective take on medical data and reports. You are spot on. Hey, Dr. Dvorak, congratulations. We have graduated.
Good.
Yes. I am surprised by how many of my colleagues yield to the M5M and fail to evaluate the C19 data for themselves. If there's one thing that I've learned as a physician, fear and anxiety lead to bad decisions. As much as pilots see it that way as well. As much as possible, we must remain calm and objective when taking actions that have risks. Thank you for keeping our fear in check. Special thanks to Real Estate, to Sir Real Estate and Dame Ashley, Lady of the Lake, for their dedication to No Agenda Northeast Ohio. They have brought hope and fun times to many in time of need. They run the meetups up there. My donation is long overdue, and I shamelessly enter as an Instanite. Quick plug for my fledgling NFT and apparel project. There we go. www.mfnft. Michael Frank November Fox Trot Tango. Sorry, switch there. MFNFT. I humbly request Sir MFNFT of the North. It's a tongue twister. I humbly request Sir MFNFT of the North Coast. Karma for all, no jingles. John, please prick a great wine for me. Adam, a great steak for the round table. So I'll tell you what I have chosen for steak because it was easy. Hold on a second. I wrote it down. I chose a dry aged New York strip steak from K&C Cattle. They're in Austin. What kind of wine?
Okay, well, let's have Le Roi Echazo, a Burgundian wine from 1999.
Okay. A Le Roi Echazo from 1999?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. Can't wait to see how I spelled that. I really did a good job. Le Roi Echazo. Okay, we'll have that for you. Thank you very much. Yeah,
it's actually spelled Leroy.
Yes.
As in Leroy. Leroy.
You've got karma.
Dame Bear of the band and the Knight Ryan of Central Oregon and Sir Knight Ryan of Central Oregon came in with almost the top donor, 108008 from Bend, Oregon. Jingles up front for the VJ. Can we get an Obama? You might die. A Hillary cackle. It's true. And shut up, slave, in Italian.
Ah, yes. Okay. Yep. Got it.
Goat karma for all, please. ITM from Central Oregon, gents. Sending this donation so we can get an emergency fuck cancer for Dame Bear, who was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. She's my beautiful wife, the love of my life, and my best friend. The whole donation goes to her account, which will elevate her to baronetess. I don't know that she's on the upgrade list.
I believe she is, but I'm going to check right now.
As a lover of her boobs, I added the 8008 portion of the donation, hoping it will bring her rack and all the other racks that suffer from this horrible affliction some additional karma. We are early in the diagnosis, but remain confident we will beat that. We'll beat this. Hold on a second. You're going by there, some big giant train. The whole donation goes through, da, da, da. We ask for prayers and positive vibes from the No Agenda Nation. So much love and gratitude for the both of you, your keepers and families, and the incredible No Agenda community you've created. We doubt you'll ever realize this gift. Hold on, I read ahead and sorry, laughing. The upcoming material. We doubt you'll ever realize the gift this pod is to humanity.
Woohoo! Yeah, an actual thanks, everybody.
Boost of sanity twice a week and no more M5M. You're not Jesus Christ, but you are the ultimate savers. This should be saviors, I think, of today. Mm-hmm. Call out to the listeners in Central Oregon. Stay strong, comrades. The rule of crazy Kate Brown will fizzle soon. To my brother in Bend, life is great, and don't forget to donate. Lastly, we can't miss an opportunity to thank Uncle Dennis for the smack in the mouth. Love and miss you.
Yes, your crazed fans, Dame Bear of Bend, who was on the list for Baronetess, and Sir Knight Ryan of Central Oregon. Sounds like you're going to be okay there because, you know, if you get it early like that, yes. And particularly when you just send the love to the boobs.
You might die.
That's true.
Shut up, slave. Sta zitto, schiavo.
You've got karma.
Sirtaki from Den Dolder in the Netherlands is up next with a 666 donation. numerology. Always entertains.
Mark of the Beast.
That's right. It's my honor to send this donation on behalf of 30 Dutch producers. Yeah, they had a huge meetup in the Netherlands. I have a report later. And it was completely illegal. You cannot have more than two people together at any time and certainly not be out after 5 p.m. So very proud of the group there. All slaves present had a nice dinner gathering last year. After a small drink at the house of Dame Bem Bem and her smoking hot husband, Sir Stinkfinger, we had a delicious meal, laughter and drinks in a great restaurant whose name we cannot disclose because it is verboten to dine in the lowlands without a corona pass. In fact, as we speak, it is impossible to dine for anyone as we are in super intelligent lockdown again. Thank you, government. During the No Agenda dinner, we raised $55.10 on behalf of all producers present for your invaluable show. Producers, you know who you are. Thank you all for your courage. This amount was collected on behalf of all those present, and because the group donations are new to me and I'm not sure how to do it, I want to donate as follows. $250 in the name of Dame Bem Bem, because she is one of the driving forces behind the No Agenda group in the Netherlands. $250 in the name of Wouter. This is Dr. Vuppie. Check him on YouTube. He has some cool videos. And his caretaker, Ruth, who gives kindness to many of us during these unprecedented times in the lowlands. Double Nickers on the Dime as a dame driver for Berber the Boeuf by Sir Stinkfinger and Dame Bem Bem. Please also de-douche Berber. I know her.
You've been de-douched.
Finally, I'm adding up to make it 666, which includes over $100 I felt like throwing in to compensate for the inflation, you guys, as it took me a few weeks to donate this money. Ah, this is from the previous meetup. So you might say it's a little bit of mustard after the meal. A great Dutch saying, mustard not a maaltijd. I have no idea why they say that. It's like having mustard after the meal. Please de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
Oh, shoot, John. I didn't miss these jingles. Wasn't highlighted.
Oh, the other ones?
Yeah, what is it? Shut up, slave. Okay.
These are the ones. Yeah, these are the ones. Well, this is because although they were mentioned at the beginning, maybe they should be mentioned at the end. Yeah, this was, can we get an Obama, you might die, Hillary cackle?
No, we did that one. This is the next one. Yeah, this is the next one. It's shut up, slaves. Revista. I didn't have freedom. I've got most of these.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Great. Freedom. I'll do the kids, since you seem to be liking kids. And what is the last one? Little girl, yeah, and goat karma. Okay, thank you, Adam and John, for your courage and the No Agenda show. It's a great way to find old normal people over here, which is another Dutch translation from gewoon normaal. It's like, just be good old-fashioned normal. Thank you for participating, Sir Doris and Sir Goost, for organizing a new meetup, the New Year's Dive in the Wild Boar Mountains today. That is what I have the report from later.
Shut up, slave!
But resist, we much. We must and we will much about that be committed.
You've got karma.
Okay. So doesn't mustard after the meal... Isn't that the equivalent of too little, too late?
Yes, that is the equivalent. Yes, yeah. That's what it means. It's just one of those Dutch sayings.
It's more colorful.
Yeah, of course it's more colorful. Hello, it's Dutch.
It's just Sir Donald of the Fire Bottles, Spokane Valley, are barren down there. $543 and what is it? 21
21 cents, yeah.
He writes in a note on the Hewlett-Packard... I think he's lost his federation status because he normally...
Keep talking in the mic there, John. You're talking off a little off mic.
Let me just move the mic.
There you go.
543.21. ITM gentleman is handwritten. And, handwritten.
What is that? Is that like a Hewlett-Packard spectrum analyzer on this notepad he has? Doesn't look like it. Yeah, it looks like a scope.
Yeah, it's some sort of scope. ITM, gentlemen, too long since my last donation. I need to reverse my slide towards douchedom. I take my oft-used donation of 12345 and reverse it as well. Hence, 54321. This donation brings me to the level of Duke. Ah, he's a Duke now.
All right, but, yes.
I wish to expand my protectorate by adding the lands of Idaho north of Lost Trail Pass. No Agenda folks who are familiar with why Idaho has a northern panhandle will know the significance of this border marker. Maybe you could tell us, because I don't think I. Okay. For the title change ceremony, I will grab an espresso topped with whipped stereo goat cream from the round table. Do we have goat cream? I don't know. We have goat cream.
That's what she said. I don't know.
I'm not mistaken. The group that we get this stuff from turns most of the goat milk into cheese.
So there you go.
Goat cream, it's new to me. The incessant get vax spots continues. On the M5M, point out how the media are now doubly corrupted. Once by big pharma advertising dollars, long noted by No Agenda, indeed. And now a second time by government money for ads pushing the jab. The results, no M5M reporting on how the COVID and vaccination narratives are falling apart in front of their very own eyes. Cheers, Sir Donald of the Fire Bottle, Spokane Valley, Washington. And he's got some numbers here, and he's up to additional.
Well, I'm glad that we read that, because Sir Donald was also not on the title upgrade today.
Yeah. He's being upgraded to Duke. He was Count.
Yes. And what? And he wanted cream, espresso top with whipped stereo goat cream. You know, that's what he gets that right now. Because he won't be at the round table, but grab your espresso here. Oh, wait a minute. Grab your espresso. Here you go.
You've got karma.
Up next, Sir Anonymous, cop of the Bay Area, $349.99. Why this amount? Well, John Adams, Sir Anonymous cop here with the proceeds and a shameless plug for the No Agenda PVC patch first run. Nearly all of them have sold. I'm proud to announce the 2.0 patch will be posted for sale on the Etsy page. That's at 41 Patches CA, 41 Patches CA. And this will be the last one for a while and produced in limited amount, just like the first. Get them while they're hot. And by the way, this is a very cool patch, the new one. It's made of PVC, so it's rubber, and you can Velcro it.
Yeah, it's red. I like the more subdued patch 1.0 personally.
What we need to do is we need to connect our NFT guy to our patch guy, because you should be able to have ownership of the patch, physical ownership, with a proof of ownership on an NFT. Just saying.
Yeah.
Seems the pendulum is slowly swinging with several local liberal mayors demanding more police and law enforcement due to rapidly increasing crime rates behind the Iron Curtain here in California. It seems the damage has been done, however. It's definitely not over. Again, due to increasing cases, our jails are not accepting bookings for nonviolent crime, which leads to these prolific criminals being caught and released like trout at the pond. Even worse, another ill-conceived California law has come into effect this year, which will put control for all law enforcement tools other than sidearms to be governed and approved by the local jurisdiction, council, or elected city, county government. You know about this?
No, I don't know anything about this.
As a cop who believes in unlimited governmental power, I agree with the spirit of this. Limited, not unlimited. Who believes in limited government on, like, what? In limited governmental power, I agree with the spirit of this. If it was enacted in Texas, not California. Unfortunately, woke politicians are already working on removing tactical teams, weaponry, and other tools from their local law enforcement. These are the same jurisdictions who have skyrocketing crime rates and violent crime, including gang members with high-powered automatic weapons. Yes, I've seen the Uzis. They're cutting people in half in California. If enacted with the wrong spirit, this could seal the deal for their local police not having access to emergency tools they may need to stop real criminals and advertising such to them under the guise of additional police defunding. We shall see how it works out. It's so stupid. Shout out to the Atascadero FEMA Region Niners and Atascadero. No jingles, no karma. Sir Anonymous, cop of the Bay Area. John, if you ever happen to find yourself on the Peninsula, let me know. Because you got a date. You got a date.
Well, yes, I need to get in touch with him anyway for some other things.
Okay. Some cop stuff.
Cop stuff.
Narc stuff. Yes.
All right.
Who's next?
Onward.
We have...
with Glenn. Did he have any jingles or anything?
Nope. Beautiful.
Sir Gene Morphis, the Knight of Neurogenesis in Bellingham, Massachusetts, 34567. And he wrote a nice...
No, it was, yes. Okay, what was this note? Yeah, this is a nice note. What was he saying?
Here's hoping this letter, he's got it in a 6-point type. That's very handy. This letter finds you well and free from encumbering exit strategies. And he says, enclosed, find some rapidly devaluing legal tender in return for twice weekly enlightenment. On a recent Sunday, our minister noted that it was his 33rd year as a pastor of our church. Message received. I have an original question. I have an origin question. What is the history of hitting someone in the mouth? I have employed the pugilistic method of spreading the word of best podcast in the universe, behaving like an ersatz Marvin Hagler. Nonetheless, jabs, uppercuts, and right crosses seem to be an unusual method for viral marketing. How did this come about? Is the sound bite we go out, we hit people in the mouth from a producer? Thanks for giving me the opportunity to add further executive producer cred to my LinkedIn profile. Gene Morphis, the Knight of Neurogenesis. P.S. Mr. Dvorak, please recommend an Armagnac. Adam, I switched to a podcast 2.0 service. You are right. Much better.
Thank you.
And he would like some sounds. He would like Vladimir Putin's Don't Worry, Be Happy. And then he says thanks. So we have two questions to answer.
Hold on. First we'll do the jingle for him.
Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy.
All right, the Armagnac. What is your recommendation?
The problem with Armagnac that you have is that there's a lot of brands and they're all fair, and there's some of them are good and some of them aren't. And it's like Armagnac's closer to Scotch than Cognac is, and because it varies to an extreme. So my recommendation, just generally speaking, is to get a vintage Armagnac, which are very common, and they have a year date on them. Make the years at least 20 years ago, but it should have a year date, like a 90 right now. It'd be dynamite. And from any vendor, and they should be pretty good. You'll get a kick out of those. I've noticed my daughter loves Armagnac, but she only likes vintage Armagnac. The other pedestrian Armagnac says turns her nose up at. Any vintage Armagnac from any vendor should do the trick. You had another question. There's another question.
Well, no, I was going to say that Tina and I had a wine sent to us. I'm going to see if I thought I might have written it down. A Ganon, maybe? Ganon, did you?
Gigondas.
Gigondas, yes. We had that. Someone sent a 2016 of Gigondas. I think that was the exact year you recommended. Am I correct?
I don't remember.
It was good.
Yeah. Gigondas is an outstanding cheap wine.
Thanks. Thanks for the cheap present. We liked it. Dustin's.
It is. It's a wine list special. If you're on you're in a restaurant and you're looking for some wine, if the restaurant has a Gigondas, Gigondas, on the list, I can assure you, because it has to be selected by somebody, it's probably one of the best deals on the wine list almost all the time. The other fallback for people who don't know what they're doing on it with a wine list is a good Beaujolais. Usually, if a Beaujolais is on the wine list, it's pretty decent.
Beaujolais
would be more fruity. The Gigondas would be a lot bigger. It'd be a dynamite product.
My fallback is to take a picture of the wine list and text it to John and wait for the answer.
Yeah.
Dustin Sainer is in Iowa, in Truro.
Well, wait.
No, I'm sorry. Did I forget something?
This guy's big question. Where did this hitting in the mouth come
from? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, hitting in the mouth comes from the jingle, which we did not make, which was, this is from ESPN, and it was a coach, I think. No. It was a coach? The clip was ESPN.
This was an old ad for the San Francisco 49ers by Mike Singletary.
There you go.
Who was a tough coach. And Mike Singletary did this ad, and we're going to go out and hit people in the mouth. We lifted a chunk of it, and because it sounded so good, and also matched with some other stuff that we mixed together, and we lifted it, and over time, hitting people in the mouth became the term for getting people to listen to the show.
Yep. For those who have never heard it before,
our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
And then from that came propagating the formula. That's also part. That's also a version of hitting in the mouth. I propagated the formula because he says our formula is this. That's how it works. Dustin sends us 333.34. It's a follow-up to the donation note I sent in for episode 1409 regarding being sued by my ex to force the jab on my 8-year-old son. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he says, the courtroom karma didn't even get a chance to work. Oh, I hate that I hate hearing this. The judge called for a Zoom status. By the way, when it comes to kids, divorced parents, mom kind of always wins. It's just a sad fact of society and reality and the justice system. The judge called for a Zoom status update meeting on the Thursday before New Year's. It was immediately apparent that his mind is already made up and he wasn't going to give me a chance. My lawyer had to actually argue to even allow us to present our arguments. Rather than schedule a hearing, he made us file written arguments on Monday the 3rd. He said he would rule based on those. My lawyer, the expert witness we retained, and my keeper Heather and I worked all holiday weekend to put everything together. But I knew I'd be lucky if the judge even bothered to read it. Predictably, he ruled in favor of vaccination, and my ex had the needle in my son's arm within the hour. I guess I'll request some health karma now in hopes that he can steer clear of any adverse reactions. Thank you so much to all the No Agenda listeners and producers who reached out with kind words after my last donation. And thanks to you two for the show and the community that has grown up around it. I plan to finish my knighthood once I can come up with a decent name. Best podcast in the universe, says Dustin. And I'm really sorry to hear that, Dustin. But here's a goat karma.
You've got karma.
Like it'll make you feel better.
You think you were treated unfairly by the judge, file a complaint with the state.
Yeah, you can do that. But you know what the problem? You know what the problem is? I mean, ultimately, it just fucks with the kid's head. This is the parents arguing, and the damage has been done now. So it's a tough one. I just hope the kid's okay.
Yeah, I hope so. Dame Kim, keeper of the Nutty Fluffers. Oh, yes. In Hubbard. Hubbard's Cupboard, Oregon, 333.33, and also a note here, typed or printed. ITM, John and Adam, I have learned something very interesting in my boob cancer journey. Today's boob cancer day, I guess.
Hey, everybody, it's boob cancer day here on the Big No Agenda Show. Best boob cancer podcast in the universe.
The other day, and while changing into an amazingly sexy scrub, a nurse popped in and asked me when I was last vaccinated.
Oh, my goodness.
I bristled a bit and told her I've not accepted the vaccine into my life, worrying that they were going to deny me service. She just said, okay. And I had to dig deeper. Thanks, Adam. And asked, quote, why do you ask?
Oh, you're cruising for a bruising.
To which she replied, we cannot do an MRI on you if a certain amount of time has not passed since your last vaccine.
Oh, my amygdala goodness.
Started screaming. So I asked, quote, so that means there is metal in the vaccine?
Graphene oxide.
To which she said, I don't know. I walked out.
Wow. We need some MRI technicians giving us some details on this. What's the rules? Yes, what's the dealio?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what we need.
Yeah.
Why is this? What's the reason for
what's
this?
What's going on?
I am sure the amazing people in Gitmo Nation already knew this, but I thought it was worth the share. No, we didn't know it. Thank you so much for all that you do. I could not donate enough to show the depth of my gratitude for you, that for the work you two do. Keep up the amazing work. Love is lit and all that shit. Dame Kim, keeper of the Nutty Fluffers, Hubbard, Oregon. Can I please get an F cancer R2-D2 style and a goat karma?
You bet. Jump. Oops.
You've got karma.
Oh, kind of works. Kind of like that. I was just looking. I do not have a note from Chap Williams from Edmond, Oklahoma, who sends in 333.33, the perfect executive producer donation. Certainly for
the
first time.
That came in as a check, bank check, and okay. Usually those are accompanied by some email or something I did not get.
Same for Khalil Saman. Houston, Texas, 333. I've looked. I do not know what happened, so send us that. We'll gladly read it on a next episode. Then Guy Lambert from Wilsonville, Oregon, 333. Oh, this is, he wants you to read this limerick.
He's got a limerick. Okay, this is Guy Lambert, 333 in Wilsonville, Oregon. Wilsonville is the home of the squirrel burger.
conveniently located next to the squirrel mail.
He'll get the joke because it's a fact. Please, JCD. Okay. There was a mouse caught in a maze, turned all around in a daze. Each way that he turned, he lost money he earned to cats named Arthur Hayes. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I don't know who Arthur Hayes is. But there you have it. From your friends at CheeseDow, XYZ, the gamified risk protocol. And then he says, we put X's in exit plans.
Okay, I have a feeling that somehow, because you know what a DAO is? These distributed autonomous organizations where they use crypto and sometimes Bitcoin, but it's more Ethereum to raise money. So maybe this was something they had, like a challenge or something they had to do. We'll have to see. CheeseDAO.xyz.
He's game. In Wilsonville. It's a high-tech area. That's where I think Tektronix is based, in that area.
Joshua Gridley, Los Angeles, California, 333, in honor of Mark Patrick Gridley. Rest in peace. JPG. Oh. Sorry about that. Baronet, I'll do this one while we're at it. Baronet Nate Wilson from Vail, Arizona, 333. I need to call out Jason and Stormy as douchebags. You mean Jason?
Douchebag.
And Stormy?
Douchebag.
They've been listening now for several months with no donation. It took about 8 years after hitting Jason in the mouth before he listened on his own. Wow, you were his training wheels for 8 years. If you could, I'd like some jobs, Karma, as my company is closing the division that I work in after moving me to Arizona. Oh, that sucks.
That sucks.
Yeah, moving in, then I was here for 2 months before the announcement. Thank you for your courage, and if anyone didn't listen to your chat with Joe Rogan, they need to listen as well. Sincerely, Baronet Nate Wilson.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. Yeah! You got Karma.
Huh. Where are we? Chris K?
Yep.
25665 from Carbon County, Pennsylvania.
First associate exec. First associate exec for today.
Boy, that would be like Carbon County. What a great name for an area.
great Carbon name for climate change.
It's all grimy.
Great name for carbon, for climate change to strike.
We're climate change central here in Carbon County. Please send health karma for my mama. She went in the ICU before Christmas and was sent home after 3 days with antibiotics because of the fluid in her lungs. She went back last week and has been struggling. They seem to have gotten the fluid out of her lungs, but even with 100% oxygen mask, she's having trouble keeping that level up where she needs it to be in her blood, oxygen.
Yeah.
She was on a ventilator for a few days and recently taken off, but they might put her back on again. She's strong. She's made it through through leukemia and breast cancer. I just asked for karma for a full recovery and hoping it's easier on her than the last couple of weeks. Okay, thank you for that.
Sounds like a real mama bear. Ah, I spit on leukemia and breast cancer. Ah, this thing will be fine. Here it is. Of course we have some karma for her.
You've got karma.
Up next, we have Sir Eric Huff from California, 256. And he says right off the bat, for jingles, do you have John's going to hum the New York Times? It's my favorite. Yes, I do. I looked it up. Thanks for the great show, John Adam. You guys always make me laugh and think. I'd like to shout out to all the awesome people who came to the Edmonton No Agenda Meetup way back in August, especially Levi Breederland, who did a lot of organizing. We want to do another meetup soon, but the cold and the vaccine policies have made planning hard. If anyone in the greater Edmonton area has a good idea for a February or March meetup location where some vaccine-free humans can still get together, or I guess even some who may have been vaccinated, let's not exclude anyone, please reach out. I became a knight a long time ago, and I was a little worried I was slipping into douchebaggery, so I checked my accounting. I was shocked to find instead that I had gone way past Baronet, and with this donation, I can claim Baron title. I'd like to claim the title of Baron of the Gitmo Nation Coffee Pot. That would be really awesome. Someone in Gitmo Nation keeps drinking the last cup and not making another pot. I'll make sure that pot is always full. Thank you for your courage. Eric Hoff, aka Will Code for Coffee at noagendasocial.com. Yeah, very funny, man. I like it. Excellent. Yes, your title change is noted and it will be up there.
Dame Frost is up. $250. I sent you a cool $250 in show 1413, but sent the note to Dvorak.com like a real dunce.
Notes at noagendashow.net for certainty.
And it's Dvorak.org.
And it's curry.com.
So here I go again to get this Christmas New Year's present to my good friend, Paul Bidow from Portland, Oregon, a smart man who yells at the clouds. Yes, it's a switcherama. So this is a switcheroo donation.
Got it.
I'll save my reports and long windedness for my next donation. Thank you. Until then, give me a shape shifting and some mac and cheese. Enjoy the journey, Dane Frost. Did I say Dane?
You did. Yeah, I let
it
go.
Dane, not Dame.
And I forgot to place your Eric Hoff's request, so we'll do that one first.
Dane.
John's gonna hum the Sunday time.
Oh, man, Kevin Reeves. Send more stuff in, Kevin. I miss you.
Mac and Cheese by Ayn Rand.
Ooh, slipped it in. There it is. Our next associate executive producer is from Fort Gratiot in Michigan. His name is Eric Sinkmajor. There we go. Wife and I have 60 plus years in education as teachers. Our Michigan
Sinkmajor.
Wife and I have 60 plus years in education as teachers at a Michigan State, or our Michigan State Board of Education is currently planning to consider mandatory masks and vax in schools. This is not state legislative action. This is the State Board of Education. Insanity. Republicans hold both state houses, but you'd never know it. They are feckless cowards. I punched my smoking hot wife in the mouth in March of 2020 with your encouragement. We watched and investigated very carefully and saw the risk was clearly stratified by age, obesity, and prior health issues. We knew that we could and would teach any kids at the time with very low risk to us and them, prior health notwithstanding. We took C, D3, zinc, quercetin, and exercised more from the outset to help keep our bodies healthy. But you've been you have been the vaccination against mass formation. Oh, that's very nice. Please play Shut Up Already is Science. Yeah, that's where's Dr. Kiki? We got Dr. Kiki in there. It's a Scam. That's a classic JCD. And the third one, We Told You So on No Agenda. Has that not been banned?
Yeah, we banned it. So it was determined that this kind of gloating, which we could have been playing constantly over the last 2 years, was unnecessary and probably detrimental to the show's future and health.
Yeah, and it's a little gauche.
And it's very gauche.
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like
it's what it is. You know what it means.
Shut up already. It's science.
It's a scam.
And finally, Eric says, just celebrated 28 years together, and we've never had a fight. Middle daughter, 2 vax, 1 booster, her choice, just got quarantined at college for the second time in under a year for testing positive. Jobs karma for my oldest, who is a great stained glass artist looking for a first large commission. Installation at Instagram.com/, oh man, Petriorcorian. I'll link to it. There's no way I can't even spell it.
Looked at her site. She's got some good material. She's good. She's a very talented stained glass artist.
Good. I'll link Eric's.
She needs a big commission.
You got it.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You got karma.
I better get the next three. Because one of them, Alexander Van Abel in Bronx, New York, $220.21, says, this sentence has 33 letters. This one, too. May I please have a jobs karma?
Jobs, jobs, jobs and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
You've got karma.
Nick Dice in Lincoln, Nebraska came with $200. I got nothing him to be found anywhere. And then the last donor will be anonymous at $200. And he or she says, I was told by my triple vaxxed brother this week that I was an effing idiot. Disappointed.
Wow. There's a lot of this going on, by the way.
There was a good, I got a note from our Hollywood producer up north who got him and his wife, Alex, both got the COVID minor version, just a Omicron. And so he's talking to his Hollywood buddies. He told me I could say that, tell the story. He's talking to his Hollywood buddies, and he says he was shocked by how they're, oh, my God, you got COVID. Are you okay? And he says they all thought he was going to drop dead on the spot. And it was just, they were just all so sympathetic and so helpful. And then, I guess as the conversation continued, he said, no, I didn't get the vaccine, no.
Oh.
And he says they all turned on him and call him the same thing. An effing idiot, you scum, you should have died.
Really? They said you should have died?
Yes, they said he should have died.
Oh, man, we need a recording of someone saying that. That's great.
This is not if you look at the Tom, because someone wants to be on Twitter, go to the Tom Likas feeds.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is all in on this, and he... People have been dying, just people. I don't know where he's getting these, but there's, it's like the guys who drop dead on they get the shot and they drop dead on the field.
Mm-hmm.
People also say, they're never going to get the shot in a million years. It stinks. It's dumb. And then they die of COVID. And Likas goes, good for them. They're dead.
Yeah. This is license has been given for this. It's the pandemic of the unvaccinated.
This is apartheid.
Yes, totally. It's racism. Racism is not really. What is the term I'm looking for? It's fucked up. There you go. I said it. There you
it's
go.
It's apartheid.
Yes.
So he says, I was an effing idiot, disappointing, and I'm selfish for not taking the vax. I was also told that I knew the right thing to do. You know the right thing to do. Take the vax. When offered evidence about the vaccine problems, he refused to acknowledge anything beyond what he has seen in his community and heard from a few of his local physicians and pharmacist acquaintances. He is not in the medical field. I was repeatedly told that he trusts these authorities over my researching information regarding the vaccine problems in the United States, Europe, Canada, Australia, etc. He also tried to shame me with, could you live with yourself if you transmitted COVID to mom and dad and killed them? This is from the same guy who had a cold allergy-like symptoms during the holidays, never took a COVID test, and still thought it acceptable to visit our parents on Christmas Day. Both of my triple-vaxxed parents got COVID around New Year's Day.
The brother infected him.
Yeah, obviously. Thankfully, both of them are fine now. When confronted about it, he said it was his allergies to try to explain it away.
His condescension
was an eye opener, a relationship changing, and absolutely bizarre to say the least. After all the mass formation talk of late, it just reiterates that people you'd never dream of can be hypnotized by this insanity, and talking to them can be a fool's errand. You guys are invaluable. Keep up the good work. Jingles, resist we much. Signed, Anonymous.
But resist we much. We must. And we will much about that be committed.
And people who skipped the donation segments missed a lot today. This is content, people. I know what I'm talking about. Sadly,
content meister.
Sadly, it's very identifiable, this story.
It's a terrible story.
It's a bad story.
It's an inter-family issue of no sympathies. This is a good example of something that's obviously hypnotized. This is like a cult.
Yeah.
It's like the vaccine cult.
Yeah. Yeah.
They call Trump a cult. This is the cult.
Yeah.
And remember, you're ostracized, you're condemned.
And if you do everything right and you still catch it, You should feel shamed because somewhere you did something wrong. You slipped up somewhere. You might have like just lifted up the corner of your mask just for a second while you were driving in your car. And maybe that's how you got it, because it came in through the air conditioning.
Well, it came in from an unvaxxed demon.
Yes, through the air conditioning. Unvaxxed demon. Oh, people, wake up. At the sound of my voice, all of you vaccinated who are completely insane will wake up in 3, 2, 1. Wakey, 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 wakey. And thank you all for producing episode 1416 of the best podcast in the universe. Every single one of these executive producers and associate executive producers receive that credit, which is valid anywhere credits are recognized. You heard it. We talk to Hollywood people. Go look at IMDb. There are producers there of this show who you'll recognize from other big Hollywood works. And thank you again. If you'd like to be one of these in the exclusive group, go to our website, which we built just for it.
Dvorak.org/NA.
And thank you again for your time, talent, treasure, and the production of 1416.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Lordy, lordy. What do you have on supply chains?
I got nothing. I don't have supply chains.
Do you have anything on supply chains? I have some, well, not so much about, well, this was a funny report, actually, about supply chains.
Next, a new kind of hardship caused by the global supply chain crisis.
Listen to this. Things are so bad that new members of the Norwegian military are being asked to wear previously used underwear. New recruits are wearing undies that were returned by previous recruits.
An official insists the garments are cleaned and checked for, quote, quality.
We want to be the checker.
Oh, please.
ABC's out of topics. Now, there was 60 Minutes did have an interesting episode about people not wanting to work anymore. Would you like to hear a couple clips? They're all reasonably short.
This is this has been on a lot of shows. PBS has been playing these. There's a it's almost as though there is like a brainwashing thing. They keep
hello it's like they're CBS CBS.
Yeah, CBS. There's almost like they're suggesting that
stay home.
Yeah, there's almost like there's a suggestion. You know, people don't want to work. They're quitting their good jobs.
Yes.
But they're not a fun job.
John, I think you've nailed it. This is not a report. This is not an investigation. This is suggestion.
Yeah.
And listen to the bits here. This is Leslie Stahl. And she intros this.
We've all seen signs in front of shops, restaurants, and factories. We're hiring. Help wanted. And now the Omicron variant is taking a toll on the already depleted workforce. We've wondered how there can be so many open jobs when nearly every employer seems to be offering better pay, benefits, and even signing bonuses. The government's jobs report released this past week tells us what has happened. Well over 20 million people quit their jobs in the second half of 2021. Some are calling it the big quit. Others, the great resignation.
Yeah.
Which you called out as bullcrap a couple months ago.
What, the great resignation? Mm-hmm. I called it out as bullcrap mm-hmm. that no one's did I say that no one's doing it?
Yeah. But it was a couple months ago. And I'm not saying you were necessarily wrong, but they were throwing the great net resignation out there.
Well, maybe that was the beginning of the suggestion.
Yes. Because
they have been suggesting that you quit your job. Mm-hmm. This is part of the communist overthrow.
Yes. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on to your hats. We are not done yet. As we, oh, by the way, I heard on the news yesterday, do you know what the signing bonus is to enlist in the military?
No.
$50,000.
Whoa.
Up from 40. I didn't even know it was 40 at any point.
That's not bad.
It's worth quitting this podcast. Aye, aye, sir.
I'm in.
Curry and Dvorak reporting for duty, sir. It's a reality show.
Where's John Kerry?
It's a reality show right there. All right, now they talk to some expert, Karen Kimbrough. about the quitting.
Karen Kimbrough is LinkedIn's chief economist.
Well, that's why she's an expert.
She has degrees from Stanford and Harvard and a PhD from Oxford.
Oh, unquestionable credentials.
Used to work for the Federal Reserve.
This gets better.
And now has a bird's eye view of the U.S. labor market.
If you work for the Federal Reserve, I mean, isn't this beautiful? Where you can say, hey, you know what, we really need to ease the market. So the more people we can keep home, the better. The more people we can send stimulus to, the better. Hey, why don't you go over there and talk about it, ex-Fed?
We have this unique view of the data. We can see across millions of members and what they share with us. And we can see from employers, millions of them that are posting jobs on our platform. Mm-hmm. There is one person hired every 15 seconds right now on LinkedIn.
Damn.
But LinkedIn's data on who is leaving jobs is most compelling. Millions of baby boomers retiring early, but also millions of Gen Z workers, people in their teens and early 20s. Many more women than men. In all, the highest quit rate since the government started keeping track 2 decades ago.
So let's just take it from the messaging perspective, shall we? Quit, boomers. Boomers, get out of the way. We're ready for you to die. Young people, go seek yourself. Go find yourself. Because we've got it all taken care of with the money.
Many people believe that generous government stimulus and unemployment benefits are really what's keeping so many workers on the sidelines, no matter where they live.
The quick answer, people say, is we're still providing too many benefits and too many people can sit at home and get a check. I personally disagree with that. Our associates that didn't come back, they're not sitting at home. They found other careers, other opportunities that fit their lifestyle better.
What we saw was that when these benefits were turned off, when workers were no longer getting the benefits, they did not rush back to work.
What does that tell you?
That tells me that it's not just a function of the benefits. That's not the only thing that's going on in the heads of workers when they make that calculus about, should I go back, will I go back, and for what job?
Now, do you think this is true? That there was so much money flowing that people just have enough still, or that there was no opportunity to spend? Maybe that's why people have more than they would think even after unemployment stopped? Do you think there's any truth to that? This is the part I have the hardest time with. After a month or two,
hard time believing that people got a lot of money, free money from the government, and unemployment that was probably paying more than they would have gotten.
Well, that's true.
Which doesn't make any sense to me.
$300-$400 per child, and cash
per
money.
Child thing, and so they didn't want to go back to work.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just
kind of believe it. I don't know.
Maybe it's just moms. They're targeting women with the messaging. Let's continue.
So is all of this producing a fundamental shift in the balance of power between employers and employees?
It's as if that social contract of work is being rewritten. And right now, the worker is holding the pen.
Hello, Noodle Boy!
There are just thousands upon thousands of available jobs in America right now. And companies are eager to hire, but workers are being very choosy.
So employees are kind of in the driver's seat.
Employees are in the driver's seat right now.
Yeah. Isn't this the Noodle Boy dream?
Wait. Play that little piece at the end again.
Okay. Hold on a second.
But workers are being very choosy.
So employees are kind of in the driver's seat.
Employees are in the driver's seat right now.
Now, this, I think, is also a function that we overlook in this, which is the idea that these kids have been brainwashed from grammar school to high school and through all the way through college that you shouldn't do any work unless it's your passion. It's got to be your passion. You know, if you don't have a passion, then you shouldn't be doing it. When I was a kid, it was the money. Yep. And I was worked at sheet metal shops. I was a paper boy. I was selling straws in the fifth grade, flavor straws, my first real job. Bring some stuff.
No offense, man. No offense, but look where you wound up.
podcaster.
It's where everyone winds up.
Well, everyone winds up as a podcaster, so that doesn't mean anything. It seems to me they do. I'm looking around.
Everyone's a podcaster.
Everyone's a podcaster. I think there's almost 5 million of them.
Yep.
So, but it was always, you know, you get a good job that would, you know, paid really well. It was paying well. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, now it's like, no, it's got to be your passion. If you don't like, you got to love your work, because when you love your work, you're not really working. This is nonsense. The number of people who can get a job that is something that pays well. Yeah, you can go love your work in a volunteer organization and get nothing. But but these kids have been brainwashed. Self-esteem and passion, love your work, don't put up with anything. So you got a bunch of duds coming out. They don't really want to work. They don't want to do anything, even though whatever you pay them. The noodle boy.
This brings up actually another point. Let me see if I have it here. So just because we're talking about the noodle boys and today's worker, I'm really looking at 20-year-olds, you know, between 20 to 30 range, and generalizing, of course, but I have some examples in my own environment about this. I was talking to the producer, the Megyn Kelly producer. And, you know, I've worked with her before. She's the one that did all the coordination and rebooked me 5 times. And we were just joking around. She's very nice. She's in that age range, maybe closer to 30. And she's talking about, oh, man, you know, we're all on SSRIs, you know. And just, she said that in kind of in passing. I'm like, yeah, that's not really good. And it's not really, she says, yeah, but, you know, everyone's on SSRIs. Everything's so stressful. And, you know, the healing movement is the big thing now, and there's, I think, a real healing movement, and I think there is a functional medicine movement that fits into this, but this woman is gaining traction, and this may be more predictive programming. This is just a report of it, but she is an international star now, people following her TikTok videos to raise mental health awareness. And I thought we should just play this because it's a part of this CBS report that we're discussing with how people are feeling.
Scrolling through TikTok. It's something many teens and 20 and 30 somethings find themselves doing throughout the pandemic. The same is true for 23-year-old Palm Beach Gardens resident and FSU student Lauren Kreidler.
Probably in the beginning of the pandemic, it was a way just to capture my attention.
She's a familiar face at WPTV, where her passion for meteorology has found her in
passion, John, green passion. Screen,
and next to talent, eager to learn since she was a kid. Her TikTok handle is aptly named Weather with Lauren, but even she was surprised when her content leaned more towards mental health, something she began struggling with at the start of the pandemic.
When I started this, I started having anxiety myself, and my symptoms felt very debilitating to a point where driving was scary. Going to the grocery store, these basic things that shouldn't be scary, but they were to an anxious person. So it left me feeling very alone.
She tried everything from dogs to cow therapy, eventually finding her place in hashtag mental health TikTok.
Well, the video, she's hugging a cow.
Oh, God.
It left me feeling very alone.
She tried everything from dogs to cow therapy, eventually finding her place in hashtag mental health TikTok, where her come to therapy with me videos really took off.
It took me finding a therapist that I clicked with to let me know that it's okay to feel this way, and that's all right that you have anxiety, but let's work through this.
In a matter of weeks, Kreidler went from hundreds of followers to more than 30,000. Her message has stayed the same.
Keep going, and that there is help out there for you. It may not seem possible at certain times, but there is help, and you can get there, and you just have to have faith in yourself.
And for those overwhelmed by their mental health or the pandemic, Kreidler says,
those storms will pass, and we will be in this together.
Yeah, I want everyone to know that the official healing animal is, of course, the goat. So I don't know what she was doing messing around with the cow. But this is, you know, whereas I think mature people, regardless of age, recognize that when you're feeling this way and you feel isolated, which are two of the four elements needed for a mass formation, you need to get out and meet people. You need to go out and interact. And they're so paralyzed. As you heard, oh, I'm afraid to get gas. I'm afraid to drive. It's really, really sad. So that plays into this.
Here's kind of just out of the blue, off the left field, rhetorical question. During this, we had two years of people holed up, worried, especially like in Canada, they're in the house or they're stuck doing,
stop scrolling on TikTok. But yeah, that's what they're doing.
How many people in the 2 year period have picked up a musical instrument and learned how to play it? I'm going to ignore what you just said.
Why? Okay.
Because, well, for one thing, you're not holed up, screwed up, holed up, and, stuck at home or anything. So you don't count, even though you believe that you've learned to play the theremin.
Meanie.
How many people do you think in the whole country, especially of the side that's been mass hypnotized or whatever you want to call it, and they've been, wringing their hands, have picked up a musical instrument and learned how to play it? You got 2 years. You could probably get pretty good at something. How many?
Well,
none.
No, but what a lot of people have done is they've picked up producing end of show mixes for the No Agenda show. So people who were music.
Not the same. We're not talking about those people. Gotcha. We're talking about people that are holed up, worried, sick.
No.
Shaking in their boots, getting in line for the vax, and then after having been double boosted and triple boosted, they're in line for a test.
No, instead of calluses from learning how to play a string instrument, they have calluses from scrolling on TikTok on their thumb only. Yeah.
They have a big thumb callus.
Two in this series that I'm done. Here's one of these quitters, Melissa Williams.
I just decided to leave. I had nowhere to go. I had no hopes for employment. Luckily, my husband was gainfully employed, and I was able to do that.
See, listen to this. This who's leaving?
I just walked away.
Melissa Williams walked away from a marketing job in Greenville in early 2021. When the pandemic hit, she was balancing marriage, motherhood, and her career.
You know you're part of a trend.
Yes.
There's like a fundamental
resignation.
People who are saying and doing what you did, I can do better than this. This isn't fun. This isn't me.
Like you said, I hit a wall and I was done.
Was that difficult? I mean,
it was. It was very scary because I've been employed since I was 17 years old. I remember going home after I put in my resignation, and I just sat there on the couch and I was like, what did I just do? I just quit my job. I have no job to go to. We have bills. We have a child. We have responsibilities. And my husband was like, do you want to go for a walk? I was like, well, I don't have anything else to do. So we went for a walk.
Now, who's with this cackling style of where everything you say something, you laugh?
Hello?
Kamala.
Exactly. I watched it I learned it by watching Kamala. Okay. Exactly. So it sounds a lot like, these are choices and she had a backstop. So that was pretty easy. It seems like maybe people who have two incomes were saying, hey, you know what? Maybe they're a little less materialistic. That's possible. We'll wind it up with
a plus. That's a plus.
It's a plus. We'll wind it up with this last one.
The pendulum of power may soon swing back toward employers. Especially as workers who've quit their jobs deplete their savings. But Karen Kimbrough expects employees to cling to the flexibility they've fought for.
I think actually that this trend towards having more flexibility could be permanent.
Permanent. Okay. So one other thing just about the TikTok and the Instagram, and I have one clip that goes with it. There's a new filter on Instagram, which is part of the app itself, and it's nicknamed the catfish filter. And I've seen it because Tina has demonstrated it to me. But you can there's tens of thousands of videos of girls saying, "Wow, look at the catfish filter." And what it does is it takes every imperfection out of your face, applies Fibonacci models to, put your eyes in the right spot, make your lips the right side.
Move your eyeballs.
It's Fibonacci, John. It's beautiful the way this app works, and it's in real time on video. So you see these women talking, and you don't know if that's what they really look like or not. Well, spoiler, none of them look like that because everybody is using the filter except when they do this bit, which is, so look at me. Isn't this great? But when I turn it off, I see this. And then you see, like, and of course, going from the catfish filter to that is like, ooh, okay, back off, girl. And then it's like, so when I see someone else, are they using the filter or is that really them? And it gives me insecurity. So this, they're even openly saying that this is messing with their head. And the result is this report with a kicker.
We're getting a look at just how much the use of Botox is rising. AbbVie owns the company that makes Botox. It reports that in the first 9 months of 2021, Botox sales surpassed $1 billion. Compare that to the same time frame in 2020 when Botox sales totaled $600 million. One dermatologist tells us her office started to see a substantial rise in patients requesting Botox around mid-2021.
We are looking at a lot of patients who've been spending their days working from home and sitting in front of a Zoom camera at all times. And essentially what they're looking at is a mirror of their faces all day long. And they're getting to see kind of the subtleties as far as the movements in their face and the lines in their faces.
There's also been a large influx of younger patients. AbbVie says their average Botox patient is closer to 40 years old instead of 50. But also Dr. Annalise Dawson tells us she's seen patients in their 20s. Hello. That's partly due to social media. There's more trust in these procedures now that they've been around for about 20 years.
Now it's become really clear that when those treatments are done very precisely and correctly and conservatively, that they actually can produce really natural results that don't alter people's faces, but just help to prevent and delay aging.
I love the, no, you're not preventing and delaying aging, but okay. Okay, medical lady.
Actually can produce really natural results that don't alter people's faces, but just help to prevent and delay aging.
Dr. Bullshit. Dawson says there's been no scientific evidence that Botox can cause substantial harm in younger people. Meanwhile, cosmetic reasons aren't the only reason some may opt for Botox.
Oh?
A new report from UC San Diego shows that Botox injections can help reduce anxiety. Doctors have also been using Botox to treat migraines, excessive sweating, and jaw clenching.
All right, can you find the old clip from about 6-7 years ago? That was one of the local reports that said KPIX is probably under Botox.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to bring this up again because it was like, oh, my God, don't ever bring that up again because the pharmaceutical companies own the media. We're not going to put up with this kind of thing. Where it did some studies have determined that if you had Botox that limited your facial expressions, you lost those emotions.
Ooh, I don't know if we have a clip of that. I'm looking on the
Botox. We do have a clip of it because I remember the clip. And I think I've even run into it recently, but it's in the archives.
Yeah, I'm looking in the archive. I'm looking under Botox.
There's no anything for Botox?
No, there's a Botox commercial. I don't think that would be it. Botox mom.
Well, I'm
Colbert. Yeah, we should look for that. We should look for that. Well, here's some boots on the ground for my sister.
And by the way, wait, just to continue that thought. When they said Botox reduces anxiety.
Hello.
It's part of this same structure.
Yes,
that
it
turns out that the muscles in your face communicate with the brain in such a way that the emotions are expressed on your face. You can see it in Victoria Nuland, that's for sure.
Well, have you seen Nancy Pelosi's new eyebrow lift and Botox?
Oh, my God. Pelosi looks like a mad woman.
You know what that makes her think of? A Big what? Mac? A Big Mac? Because she's got the golden arches on her forehead. It's crazy. The woman is insane. Someone screwed her on. Let me tell you, I don't care how old you are. Any doctor, any clinic who sends you home with that forehead, with that golden arches eyebrow lift, hates you. There's no, that hates you, Nancy.
She's probably hateable.
So my sister-in-law works at a clinic in Indiana that does procedures like this. And I'm allowed to talk about this in these vague concepts, but the stimulus money that came in particular, women who are at home with multiple children who got hundreds of dollars per child per month, they came in en masse. And do you know what the number one procedure is? You're not going to guess.
Butt lift.
Oh, he nails it. That's right. Butt lift, number one procedure. With the stimmy money. I know. It made me quiet too.
Thank you, taxpayers, yeah, for my butt lift.
That's pretty much it. This butt brought to you by Stimmy Checks. It's really, really quite an, it's a crazy world we live in.
It's out of control.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have, you're off that topic.
Yeah,
I,
but I'm done with that.
Now that you introduced, I think the topic needs to be a year follow for the year. This is a, one of the most important topics, this brainwashing the public to quit their jobs.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it in those terms, but I'm going to think about it from now on out.
Yeah.
I have a Trump, very interesting Trump clip, which I think is kind of funny. Trump was on NPR recently. And the guy, the NPR guy, is kind of a dick, and he's bragging about the fact that Trump hadn't been on NPR forever, and they got him on. And blah, blah, blah.
Did Trump say, it's because you suck? Did he say that?
He kind of said that, but he never, but I only have the beginning, because there's an element in here that I thought was more interesting than the interview, which was boring. It was just Trump saying he got chipped out of the election, mm-hmm. and then them ridiculing him for it. Ash, no proof. Oh, all the courts said bull crap. And so that was useless. But this is kind of interesting. Listen to the Trump new on NPR and tell me if you can spot the little thing in here that kind of got my attention.
More than 6 years ago, I asked for an interview with a rising presidential candidate named Donald Trump. From time to time over the years since, I renewed that request, but it never quite happened until yesterday when Trump joined us by phone from Florida. Mr. President.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for taking the time today. It's great to talk with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, there's no reason that you would know this, but we first invited you on the program in 2015, so it's great to get you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, I guess I got lucky by not doing it, right?
Wow. Hold on. Let me hear that bit again. That's kind of cool what he said at the end there.
Get you.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess I got lucky by not doing it, right?
Did the guy understand what he was saying?
No, he didn't.
He had no idea, did he? Was this the interview that he walked out of or hung up on?
No, not really. I mean, he hung up because he only had a limited time, but it wasn't like he walked.
Oh, I saw a headline. It's like Trump briskly leaves.
Hang up because he says the time, our time is up, and he hung up on him. But he didn't. He wasn't in a huff.
Let me just see.
He got his couple of punches in and mostly bitching and moaning about the election and then left. And that was about it. But that what you heard was the essence of it.
No, no. Let me just read the headlines. Let me read the headlines to you. Trump rage quits NPR interview after he's grilled. Trump abruptly ends NPR interview. Trump ends NPR interview after challenges to false, fraudulent statements. This is all mainstream headlines.
Yeah, I suppose you could interpret it that way. I didn't see it that way. And it was mostly this guy bragging about the fact that he got Trump on the phone in the first place.
Trump leaves NPR stunned over abrupt interview exit. Oh, my goodness. Is NPR doing another fundraiser or something? Like, hey, we got to have something. Let's come on with those headlines, people. That's pathetic. Jeez.
NPR's got some... You know, NPR's got some crap on this. They've been bragging about, oh, we're the news, we're nation's treasure. I got two short clips here. This is the kind of dumb stories they do. Let me start with dead rat story.
A dead rat story is always good.
Okay, we have some sad news out of Cambodia this week. A beloved rat named Magawa has died.
So that's one of their big headlines. This is
headline, digging. Breaking news, big story. Hold on, where's my jingle? We need the.
And then we got Planet Money.
Hold on. I want to do it again. This has to be done properly in the mainstream way.
And now back to real news.
Okay, we have some sad news out of Cambodia this week. A beloved rat named Magawa has died.
We're on the brink of war with Russia. Hey, man, the rat story that has to lead. Okay.
Now. I mean, it went on for a long time. Apparently, this rat was a bomb, a mine-sniffing rat, and he found 100 mines. And
special
it was a
rat, yeah.
So now we have another good example of this kind of thing. Planet Money spent probably a half an hour on this story, and this is the beginning of introducing it. This is Planet Money's dumb story.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith.
And I'm Brittany Kernan. And I'm here to get to the bottom of the question that has been on everyone's mind. You know what it is. Why are McFlurry machines always breaking?
Oh, Planet Money. We literally have seen the federal chair in another nomination process with phonied up unemployment numbers. The market crashes the next day. It's all over the place. But no. Planet Money is going to talk about the McDonald's flurry machines.
Yeah.
It's no wonder they're losing everything. Everything. Yeah. Including my respect.
There was another one I had. I didn't have it on this list. But
what's the inflation update?
Oh, the inflation update is another one of these stories that's like, whoa, is this a repeat? Have I heard this before?
Another one of those?
I think I recorded this last week or the week before. No, this was from yesterday.
Prices for goods and services are still climbing in the United States. NPR's David Gura has more on a new government report showing the consumer price index is the highest it's been since 1982.
The inflation gauge was up 7% in December from a year ago. That's roughly in line with what many economists expected. Price increases were pretty broad-based. Used car prices were higher, and so was rent, along with furniture. Fruits and vegetables got more expensive, and so did milk. But energy prices declined by 0.4% in December. That's the first decrease in almost a year. Fed Reserve has vowed to fight inflation, which has lasted longer than policymakers expected. Fed Chair Jerome Powell doubled down on his pledge to rein it in on Tuesday during his nomination hearing on Capitol Hill. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
You know what I found odd about the used cars, which, you know, my car guy has now emailed me, called me multiple times, is offering me $3,000 shy of what I paid for the car 2.5 years ago. And I put, 12,000 miles on it. So it's cherry. But it's cherry, baby.
Hey, man, boss car you got there, dude. It's cherry.
Exactly. And I really have no interest in it because this is my last car until I park a flying car in my garage. One of our producers sent in a note. He says, you know, my daughter had an accident on Christmas, totaled her car. And the insurance company valued it and paid her $5,000 more than she paid for the car in the first place.
Nice.
How does that work? How can they? Are they stupid? These?
No, they're not stupid. So they're doing something. Well, here's what Toyota has made an announcement. What they're doing is they're taking back all the used cars that they can get a hold of with their trade-ins,
mm-hmm.
and they're refurbishing them.
Refurb.
It's not like one of these. It's not like a little refurb, like, well, the dealer does, oh, I'm going to polish it up and, you know, give it a tune-up. No, they're putting radar in them. They're changing they're rebuilding the car. So it's going to be a new car.
That's got to tell you they're not expecting new cars for a long time. If they're going to those lengths.
Something's up because they are shipping some new cars in.
Some, of course. Well, that was Toyota, you said?
Yeah, it was Toyota.
Well, Honda has some of its own restoring to do with their vehicles.
The clocks in some Honda and Acura vehicles have their drivers going back in time. It's a bug in the car's computer system, and it has the clock showing the wrong time, and in some cases, even the wrong year. It all started on New Year's Day. Some car calendars went all the way back to 2002. Resetting the clock manually doesn't fix the problem. It's being reported in models from 2004 to 2012, equipped with navigation systems. Honda says it's working on the issue, and they say the clocks should correct themselves in August if they don't find a fix before that.
So I'd like to know, because our dude's name Ben and dudette's name Bernadette out there, they heard what I heard. It's in cars with GPS navigation systems, which tells me they were using the sync, the clock timing of the navigation system, to set the car, the vehicle clock.
Like you do with your phone.
Well, this, but also ATM machines. I mean, all of this stuff. What is it? What happened? Was there some switch in the GPS networks? Was there something? What took place that the cars could no longer get the right number? Or is it just purely a programming bug? Just the fact that she mentioned that it's from GPS to me means something was happening with the GPS. Maybe there was. And why is it going to fix itself in August? Is it going to be offset, GPS offset?
Why is it going to take that long?
Because there's something scheduled. There's something scheduled in August with GPS. Maybe that's when Putin takes over and knocks all GPS out. Putin. Like Putin, who the hell knows? I just thought it was beautiful. Should we do another dumb...
Get the Fletcher-Putin thing ready. I think we're going to need it a lot.
Yeah, gee, you know, and thank goodness. Let me do, where is my Putin Fletcher? My Fletcher-Putin. Where is it? We got to put that back in... we have a couple of them here.
Putin!
That's... There's that one, of course, the classic.
That was Megan, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
Putin!
This is Megan. Here's Megan.
Putin!
She's never going to have me back on, man. Don't do that. She'll never have me back on.
It's possible. She liked you, though. You could tell she was batting her eyes. She was over made up.
Really? Because the video that they send you is delayed by 4 seconds. So I just turned it off. Like, I was only listening. Made up.
She had too much. She had that. There's a name for this. Too much mascara around all the way around the eyeball.
Over mascarad.
And it was
over applied.
Kind of like a 26th Street hooker. From
New York, John. Jeez, John, stop.
No, looked like to me.
You just don't want me to go on again. Is that what? Is that it? You're like, I don't want him going on that show anymore. No, she's not. And you're attacking her personally for how she looks. This is
She looked good. She looked good.
Like a 26-year-old hooker? That's good.
No, 26th Street hooker.
Oh, 26. I'm sorry. Let's get it right. Okay. I'm telling you that her producer said, how was she with that ending? Oh, no. She loves it when people disagree. She said right away, I want to have Adam back on in the future. That's what they told me.
Oh, good.
That's what they told me.
I think it worked together well. And you look good on the show.
And you're right. I was less twitchy. I'm not sure what that was. I don't know. I'm working on it.
I think it's the woman versus guy.
Could be
a sex thing. You with women.
God.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You should have seen the chat room going on about it. Oh my God. They're flirting. They're flirting. She's got a thing for him.
I wasn't flirting.
She was flirting with you.
Nah, get out of town. She just liked my hair.
Yeah,
which Tina found a little bit like, get off the hair already, Megan. Back off.
Tina noticed.
Okay.
Let's go to the Prince Andrew Epstein update just so we can keep up.
An American woman who accuses Britain's Prince Andrew of sexually assaulting her when she was a teenager will be able to move forward with her civil lawsuit. Today, a federal judge cleared the way for Virginia Giuffre to pursue damages in her civil case against the British royal. The judge rejected the argument that Giuffre's 2009 settlement with the late financier Jeffrey Epstein also shielded Prince Andrew from Giuffre's lawsuit. Andrew has repeatedly denied the allegations.
Huh. So they...
That was interesting. The lawsuit's going to go forward. There's something scamish about this.
Well, let's stay just for a moment with Epstein. A couple of years ago, Ricky Gervais skewered the Hollywood Foreign Press Association and the elites in the room with a fantastic monologue about...
That's the last we ever heard
and
from him.
That's the last time Ricky Gervais was ever going to host the Golden Globes.
In fact, they closed the Golden Globes down.
That's the report.
The stars, the sizzle, the scrolling? Last night's Golden Globes, an award show in semi-exile. Once it was an Oscars harbinger, renowned for red carpet glamour. A few good laughs from the stage.
Gravity is nominated for Best Film. Of how George Clooney would rather float away into space and die than spend one more minute with a woman his own age.
But the glittery drink-tastic kudo cast taken off the airwaves for 2022, put into timeout for a year after long simmering allegations of self-dealing and shocking details about its voters brought to light.
They have received, perks for being members because that is what the Hollywood machine does in order to secure those nominations.
Last year's hosts, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, horrified by the revelation that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association had zero black voters.
The Hollywood Foreign Press Association is made up of around 90 international no black journalists.
With scorn raining down across the entertainment industry, the HFPA making moves to diversify its membership, tightening its anti-graft regs, its efforts thus far viewed with side eye and skepticism in Hollywood.
They have amended their bylaws that the members are no longer allowed to receive gifts from studios and other networks. If you ask the Hollywood Foreign Press, they've done everything that they were supposed to do. If you speak to studios and publicists, that's not really the case.
So before an untelevised, unstreamed Sunday night gathering of 200 or so, the Globe's winners in movies and TV categories were announced and proclaimed one tweet at a time on social media.
Here's what I lack to understand. Why didn't they just stream that on YouTube?
Was it woke? I don't know.
No, I know. I think it's because no one, because they would get 300 views. That's why. I mean, this was already an embarrassment to go down. And this is the Hollywood Foreign Press. You know, they needed to make room. There's too many award shows. No one's got ratings. I know. Let's get rid of those guys. That'll crank up the Oscars.
The Oscars.
When are the Oscars?
They were last year.
I can't. Ah.
Well, now the Oscars, according to the trades, they're putting in a woke checklist.
Oh, do tell. What's the check?
So for best picture, you can't only have the actual best picture, but the back studio, the back end of it are the people that worked on the movie. There has to be so many people that are from BIPOC, and there has to be so many people that are this, and there's so many people that did the movie. So the movie itself doesn't matter. It's really the cast and crew that count.
That's what the award is for, ultimately. It's for all the people who never shine, you know, the awards they never anywhere.
In other words, they have to have X amount of people of color
all.
The guy.
Let's just be honest about it. Let's be honest about it. You cannot get hired as a straight white man for any job in Hollywood anymore.
That's what the trades pretty much say.
That's what Megan said, too.
Yeah.
So. You know what that means? There's one solution for everybody. Become a podcaster.
That's where I was doing.
I'm show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda. In the morning.
And when you become a podcaster, you can get support from your loyal followers and producers, including R.D. Wicker. From Neptune Beach, Florida, and he comes in with $133.18.
By the way, you can only be supported by your producers if you make an outstanding product.
Oh yeah.
Are you okay?
Looking for something that I put aside. I specifically cleared out the desk to put this aside.
You moved the pile. Yeah, that's how it always goes. Yeah, it's your own fault.
Damn it.
Yeah, I know.
Read from the list. You never get to do that. And then I'll find this thing and read.
Oh, yes. Thanks. Because I never get to do it. we start with Artie Wicker, Neptune Beach, Florida, 133.18. And we appreciate that. James Buell, 12345, Spring Hill, Tennessee. Geert Balen in Belgium, 12345. Appreciate that. We have Daniela in Purmerend. $100. Rob van Dijk, $100. These, I think, a lot of these are coming from the No Agenda Lowlands meetup. Sir Kevin McLaughlin, Duke of Luna, lover of America, and...
What?
Boobs.
Wow.
Once again, 8008 Concord, North Carolina. He's always in because he loves America. And boobs.
And boobs.
Joseph Weick, 7777, sack of sevens from Miami, Florida. Christian Moreno... From Costa Mesa, California, swazzle enough all around, 69.69. We have Chris Bargeron, which is in honor of Sir Puck's 39th birthday on Friday the 14th. He's on the list, and that's a small boob donation. That's a lopsided boob, 60.06, Marietta, Georgia. And Elliot Lang is in Chicago, Illinois. Thank you for $60 of support. Christopher Dechter, 5678, nice variation. Here are the $50 donors. Jim Tucker, National Park, New Jersey. Philip Kim, San Francisco, California. Kimberly Redmond in Toronto, Ontario. Brandon Savoy, I believe that may be a sir. Port Orchard, Washington, Jonathan Ferris in Liberal, Kansas, Fabio Alvaz in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, San Francisco, California is where Gavin McGoldrick is from, George Wooshit, $50, David Swendinger in Woodbridge, Virginia, Michael Wendell, Matawan, New Jersey, Matawan, Stephen Schumacher, Xenia, Ohio, Margareta A. Den Hoot in Orangeville, California, Michael Hainer in Paris, California, Jesse Hall in Friendswood, Texas, Simon Aronowitz, parts unknown, and the last two we have Dame Patricia Worthington, Miami, Florida, and William Dolgay from Bristolville, Ohio. And those so, are, go ahead.
So those are our producers or and supporters for show 1416. So the note came in from Andrew in Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, we couldn't scan it in because it's black paper.
Oh, that works poorly.
Silver.
Mm-hmm.
And he says this donation was, it was $101, but it only wanted to donate $100.69. But I couldn't find any American change. He's in Quebec. Please put the extra 31 cents in the penny jar.
Okay.
That's for you.
Yeah, got it.
So we can have 31 more of these people that come up short. I thought that was very
That's nice. Very social of you. That's very nice. We appreciate that. We appreciate all of these producers and the ones who came in under $50 for guaranteed anonymity. Many people do $49.99 multiple times, sometimes even, and that's their choice. Also, people on sustaining donations, we appreciate that above all. It really keeps a good base for us moving forward. And again, thank you to the executive producers and associate executive producers of this spectacular episode of the fantastic and hilarious No Agenda Show.
Dvorak.org/NA.
How about a gratuitous goat karma?
You've got karma.
Yeah, quickie on the list today. Augustin Lamothe celebrated his 26th on the 7th, so it's a belated happy birthday. Chris Bergeron, happy birthday to Sir Puck, 39 tomorrow. And Justin Edelman turned 35 on January 12th. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe.
It's your birthday, yeah. Title changes, turn faces, place changes.
This title changes today. Sir Eric Hoff becomes Baron of the Gitmo Nation coffee pot, because someone's always emptying the darn thing. Dame Bear of Ben reaches Baronetta status, and Sir Donald of the Fire Bottles, now to be hailed as Duke Sir Donald of the lands of Idaho north of the Lost Trail Pass. That shall be his protectorate. And thank you all again for supporting the best podcast in the universe. We have one night to handle today. This is our NFT night, Michael Forney. So let's get a virtual
NFT blade.
An NFT
you
blade.
You can't see it.
It's there, though. The jokes never end. Michael Forney, come on up, man. Thanks for your support of the No Agenda Show and the amount of $1,000 or more. You now are welcome here at the illustrious round table of the No Agenda Knights and Danes. And I'm very happy to pronounce to Kate B as Sir MF NFT of the North Coast. Yes, for you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, Leroy Eschiazzo, 1999, and a great aged ribeye, or New York strip, I should say, from KNC Cattle in Austin, along with ginger ale and gerbils, sparkling cider and escorts, bong hits and bourbon, vodka, vanilla, geishas and sake, and of course, mutton and mead. You know what to do after you're done with that nice bottle of wine. Go over to noagendanation.com/rings and hand off your info, measure your finger, and Eric will get everything out to you as soon as possible. And thank you. And welcome to the round table, my friend. We have a couple of meetups to discuss today.
No Agenda meetups.
A couple.
Well, it's the beginning of the year. Everyone's off the hook. You know, so now it's like when everyone starts freaking out, the No Agenda Nation starts coming together, meeting, hanging out with each other, meeting human resources, feeling warmth, emotion, love, all of it. I do have a couple reports first. The first one from the second Mobile, Alabama Mouth Hitters Meetup. Several No Agenda faithfuls were in attendance, 19 in total at this second Mobile, Alabama Mouth Hitters Meetup. The Thai food was delicious. Everyone was in great spirits with anticipation to meet up again. Also, a big thank you for your courage to two No Agenda Knights, Sir Adam of the Coke Empire and Sir Brian of the Mobile Bay, for attending and sharing stories of triumph against the machine. And that's a report from Neil. We appreciate that. Now we go to South Louisiana.
Hey, John and Adam, this is Aaron from the South Louisiana meetup. It was a great success. Here's our crew.
Hi, this is Tracy, and I'm glad I got hit in the mouth.
And this is Canebrake, ITM to the trolls in the troll room.
This is Brian in the morning.
This is Tyler number one.
This is not a douche, Drew.
This is Witty.
This is the other Tyler.
This is douchebag Jeff.
This is Britton, recently de-douched.
And James to finish it off.
In the morning!
Now, a little bit longer report, but it was so many people, 30 people at the Netherlands, the Wild Boar Mountains, No Agenda Lowlands meetup. And of course, like good old slaves out there, they produced it.
Okay, this is Sarah Doris, and I'm the spook. And I'm organizing this and I'm handling all these people.
In the morning, sir, please get up. Stay safe. And I'll
be. We won't stop having fun.
This is Bam Bam.
Let's go, Brendan.
Hi, this is Arno.
Hi, Internet.
This is Frank saying hi.
Hey, ik ben Ingrid. In the morning.
Un grand bonjour des Pays-Bas.
Yeah, thank you for your courage.
ITM, this is Pamela. A meetup is the perfect antidote.
Hey, Evan. Red nose, a man finger.
Oh, Sir Herco, people from of Utrecht, looking for the vaccine safe zone.
Hi, this is Iris from Rotterdam, Netherlands. I'm here for the douchebaggery. Bye, stay safe.
This is Sir Tim, and this is our Omicron party.
Yeehaw.
In the morning, all. Enjoying my burger here.
Ik wil niet.
And in the morning, this is all in, and we're having a party.
What is it? In the morning. Is this for the No Agenda?
This is the Dr. Vappie. Check me out on YouTube. Dr. Vappie.
I'm Andre, and you can shove that mold cup up your ass.
Hey, Jon and Adam. Groetjes from the Lowlands. Bye.
Oh, yeah. I'm Sir David to become once I'm a knight.
Ik ben Jeroen, and ik ben een testmaker.
This is Dangerous wishing you a happy new year, and thank you for your courage.
Sir Hendrik, Knight of the Blank Saber, and PR associate of No Agenda 9.
Let's go,
Brandon.
Hey, Adam. Drink me a dinner beer.
Hi, from a double jobbing dude named Ben.
If you want to come into your life once again from, I don't know where we are, but the meeting report will tell you. Cats, cats, cats.
Well, the end there, they are singing, they are telling you where you can shove the poison, your effing mondkapje, which is the Dutch word for mask, mondkapje. Wow, busy day there, guys. Fantastic. Here's a couple of meetups that are taking place. We start with today, the Spooks versus Spooks meetup in Wisconsin starts at 6. Tomorrow, the Friday night hangout in Hangar 101 at 6:30 in Lakewood, Colorado. Yes, Hangar 101. Saturday, the Virginia FF and WF meetup, 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. It's a two-part event. You definitely want to go look at noagendameetups.com for details on that. The third annual meet shoot in Lockhart, Texas, taking place on Saturday. Wish I could be there. You should go regardless. It's going to be great. Sir Scott always does a great job with his wife. Also a two-part event. And North Idaho Sanity Brigade meets at 2 o'clock on Saturday at Selkirk Abbey in Post Falls, Idaho. The Salty Air Slaves of Tampa Bay meetup commences at 2:33 on Saturday at Tarpon Turtle Grill and Marina, Tarpon Springs, Florida. Let's go, Brandon. Jupiter, Florida Happy Hour meetup, 3:33, Lenora's Alton and Palm Beach Gardens. The local 919 Story Swap and Beer Spectacular, 4 o'clock on Saturday at the Carolina Ale House in Durham, North Carolina. The Snoqualmie Valley Hullabaloo. Screw you guys. 4 o'clock on Saturday, Duval Tavern, Duval, Washington. First time in Texas meetup, 7 o'clock at the Armory Deep Ellum Barn Restaurant in Dallas. The Keeper and I may show up, but that's if you want to meet Tom Starkweather, end of show mixer extraordinaire, and his lovely, I think, fiance Alex, Alex the unhappy New Yorker. Join us there. And on Sunday, FEMA Region 9, mostly monthly meetup, 2 o'clock at the Santa Maria Brewing Company in Company in Atascadero, California, sorry. And the Stay Safe Annapolis meetup, 3 o'clock, O'Laughlin's in Arnold, Maryland. And that will do it for up until the show. Then on Monday, there's the Pittsburgh Bottle Shop, where you can join the Pittsburgh MLK Day Happy Hour, 6 o'clock Eastern in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. These are just a sampling of the many No Agenda meetups that are available at noagendameetups.com, taking you all the way through the end of the month, through February. Go ahead, find one. Go visit, hang out with people. It's a lot of fun, I guarantee. It'll be just like a party.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered on hell the lame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Okay. I have a couple of ISOs here. You have something to play with?
Yeah, I got one. And I think it's appropriate for the end of the show. It's maybe half second too long, but I like it. In charge.
At times, it doesn't seem like anyone's in charge.
That's pretty good. Anything else? That's
tells the story. That's all I got.
Okay, I have.
Oh, wow.
It's like, kind of like that one.
Fed.
Little long. Right. We could shorten it.
I don't get that one, though. What's it got to do with the show?
Nothing.
Science is real, right?
I like the way she says it, right?
Right. So right. For me, I don't know. I think the Trump is.
Oh, wow.
That's just too stupid. What do you think?
Well, having found the Trump thing myself, I think my in charge thing is more appropriate, but Trump is hard to beat.
It's just funny.
Your call.
Yeah. Well, since you sweetened it up, I think it's the one to beat. I think that's what we need to go with this one. With the, oh, wow.
All right.
It's my thinking.
I'm starting to hear it a lot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut back, obviously.
But when Trump said it,
yeah, that's bad.
That was the end. Trump, the old Trump, says, oh, wow? Come on.
Yeah. What is that? What's something else?
Right on.
Oh, yeah, that was part of that Cruz thing was from. Did you see him hammering the lady from the FBI with the very odd haircut?
No.
Oh, you've got to look at, so this is he's grilling her, I guess it's the January 6th bullcrap. So they're doing January 6th stuff. And there's this woman at FBI, she's on Zoom, and she has this, I mean, it's like a woke bang, half bang, swept cut, which made her look very, kind of like a Beatle haircut done bad. It was, cool. It's hard to describe what it was. But anyway,
I got to look it up. Yeah. This teaser.
Go look it up.
How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Ms. Sadburn, who is Ray Epps?
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
Well, there are a lot of people who are understandably very concerned about Mr. Epps. On the night of January 5th, 2021, Epps wandered around the crowd that had gathered. And there's video out there of him chanting, "Tomorrow, we need to get into the Capitol, into the Capitol." This was strange behavior, so strange that the crowd began chanting, "Fed, Fed, 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 Fed." Ms. Sanborn, was Ray Epps a Fed?
Sir, I cannot answer that question.
The next day,
on
January 6th, Mr. Epps is seen whispering to a person, and 5 seconds later, 5 seconds after he's whispering to a person, that same person begins to forcibly tear down the barricades. Did Mr. Epps urge them to tear down the barricades?
Sir, similar to the other answers, I cannot answer that.
Have you seen her yet? Have you seen her?
No, I didn't. I'm gonna go look at that clip.
Grandstanding, of course, but well done.
Oh, he's the best. Well, no, I take it back. Rand Paul's the best. But Rand Paul has an annoying factor that, well, they both do, now as you mentioned.
Ted Cruz can be quite annoying, too, believe me.
I got a couple Biden clips.
Okay.
I just want
you to know the affiliates are complaining. We're at 3 hours and 30 minutes. I'm just.
Yeah, well, we got to do these two.
The reason why is because you'll be like, how long was the show? And then I'll say 3:30. And you go like, too long. And you'll yell at me for it. So
I do that every show.
Pretty much.
Not last show.
No, it wasn't too long.
So here's the I got the two Biden clips. And this is the this is the discussing voting rights. He's in some black school or something. And he says this. This is the most recent president gaffe. This is the most recent one. I think there's about 10 of them now.
Last week, President Harris and I stood in the United States Capitol.
A lot of people picked up on this.
Yeah, of course they did, because he keeps doing it.
Why? I mean, that must just be the plan.
No, I don't think so. I think I have a theory.
Oh, thank goodness.
I think it's because he was always such a lackey. He was always second fiddle, and he was 8 years with President Obama.
Oh, it's just the brain. The brain is stuck in that mode.
Saying president, yeah. Whoever I'm with is the president.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds much more
8 years.
Didn't take much. Yeah. Yeah, good point. Good point. I mean, we'd love to say it was different, but I think, you know, considering his mental acuity, that's what we have to go with as a sure thing almost.
Then I have this one, which has got a bunch of attention. The media doesn't care because they don't want to fact check the poor old man. But this one, this is about the second or third time he's pulled this stunt where he claims to have been arrested. And here he is saying it.
I did not live the struggles of Douglas, Tubman, King, Lewis, Goodman, Cheney, Swearinger, countless others, known and unknown. I did not walk in the shoes of generations of students who walked these grounds, but I walked other grounds because I'm so damn old I was there as well. Hey, you think I'm kidding, man? Seems like yesterday the first time I got arrested anyway.
Jailbird Biden. You know what he should
do? Yesterday. He's never been arrested, of course, especially during civil rights stuff.
What he should do is he should just put on one of those striped outfits and carry a big ball around, a chain.
He's a liar.
He's a liar. He's a liar.
That's a lying. I mean.
And he even says, never mind, you know. Because, you know, that's one of those things I used to say when that's dumb. I can't do that because we got fact checkers. Yeah, it's not good. Well, that is our deconstruction for today. I think we brought the heat.
Too long.
End of show mixes by Fletcher, who went all out into the... I mean, he went nuts on this one. That's our guy who yells Putin. He's got a thing for mullets now. And then we'll finish it up with Tom Starkweather with a nice little New York state of mind version of Rand versus Fauci. Followed by Grimerica, the most recent episode, live on noagendastream.com or trollroom.io.
Hey, have you ever done Grimerica?
No, I still need to do it. I'm a horror.
So you've done Kelly, you've done Rogan 10 times, and you can't do a Grimerica.
Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where everyone's worried sick. And they don't even know why. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday with another episode of the best podcast in the universe. Please remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. We appreciate all the support we can get. Until then, adios, mofos! And such.
Hold on to your hats or take them off. The 80s hairstyle known as the mullet is making a comeback. The 80s comeback. You know, business in the front, party in the back, comeback. Party in the back, comeback. You know, party in the back, business in the front.
I never used that word, that any criticism of you would be considered a criticism of science itself. It's quite dangerous.
Senator, you are distorting everything about me. Senator, you are incorrect almost everything you said.
Well, no, you deny, but the emails tell the truth of this.
Not only are you distorting it, you're completely turning it around.
Was her initial impression actually that it looked very suspicious for a virus that came from a lab?
Senator, we are here at a committee, and you keep coming back to personal attacks on me that have absolutely no relevance to reality.
Right. So you think it's a winning success, what you've advocated for government?
What happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there because people are lying about me. You keep distorting the truth.
Did you talk to any of the scientists privately?
Yes.
Who wrote the opinion? You did. Well, what were they telling you privately?
He's doing this for political reasons. So you are making a catastrophic epidemic for your political gain.
But you are so certain that you're right that you're not willing to hear anyone else.
And again, just for the record for people to check, I have never said take people down when there is not a single shred of evidence that anything that was done with the NIH had anything to do with COVID-19. I'm actually stunned by the amount of misinformation.
The best podcast in the universe.
Yeah. Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Oh, wow.